week, the media learns of the thrilling concept of simulations being a fantastic way to teach and prepare someone for a new situation. The gaming generation are now parents and able to make this point. That's just one story. Join us for the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 786 of our show for this July the 28th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle with my co-host in studio, not on camera because she doesn't want to be, even though her new hair is a really rad color.
I mean,
it's not like new hair. It's not like she's, oh, there you go. So once in a while, she wants to be on camera.
I have a shadow root. And I have the orange.
There she is, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Hi.
It is orange.
Orange. Orange, you're glad you're here at OLR
I'm
tonight.
I'm on fire, yes.
You could have
so happy to be on the show, Rob.
You could have still been playing all sorts of pinball and classic arcade games in San Jose, but you're here with us.
No, I couldn't because Dan wanted to come home.
Oh.
He's like, I'm tired. I was toddler tired.
What a party pooper.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at Twitch.tv, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And I'm saying that because I'm reading some comments from chat where SSG100 Matt says, orange hair radio. And Spyro Jonathan says, heck yeah, orange hair radio. So did you dye your hair orange because you are that devoted to this show as if 17 years of your life wasn't enough?
Bitch, I might be. No, I'm kidding. I'm actually not going to be bleaching my roots anymore because, you know, it's bad for your hair to over bleach.
I wouldn't know. I don't have hair anymore.
Well, so
why do you think I wear hats?
Those on the camera can see it's dark up here. I'm going to be going really red and growing out this orange part to where when my hair's long, it's going to be like flame point. I'm thinking ahead. This is going to be like a 3-year endeavor.
It's like it looks worse on cam than it really is. Like I sort it. Like it looks like it's just like completely bald on top, but I do have some hair. It looks worse on cam, I think, but bald is beautiful. So I don't give a fuck. So whatever.
It gives you an excuse to have interesting hats too.
Yeah, it is. I like the hats are a good accessory. Why not? You ladies get to pick your purses that match. Well, not that gender roles should define anything, but the majority of, you know, American culture is that you pick a purse to go with your outfit. Why
ladies,
shouldn't I pick
queens.
A hat? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But if I wanted to take a purse, then goddammit, I'm going to take a purse.
Exactly.
All right.
Bring back the merce.
All right. Anyway, I had a merce. We can talk about that another time. All right. Anyway, hello. I don't mean to ignore Loki, Techmaster Loki over there.
That's fine.
But number one, I'm thinking you don't have a lot to contribute to the purse discussion.
No.
And I can clearly see you're over there catching Pokemon.
Yes.
Because apparently my house is a hotbed of Pokemon.
No, just Pokemon because Go. I haven't done it in a while and because I don't know.
Yeah, I'm out of the loop. So, you know, to that guy that reviewed us on iTunes saying they talk about nothing but Pokemon Go, those days are numbered. I haven't played
as much
lately.
When did that happen?
Some review. I shouldn't even acknowledge the negative reviews, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can always leave a positive review if you want to offset that stuff.
For the record, there's jack shit at your house.
What? There's usually like
Pokemon, there's three.
There's like usually three or four spawns on the house.
Had to deal,
and they're first gen.
They had a thing where you get a Dratini and then you have to take a picture of it.
Oh,
and
right.
Then that picture got me one of those Smeargle things, and so I had to catch that.
Oh, I didn't do that. I caught a Dratini, but I didn't take a picture of it.
Yeah, I've kind of fallen off the wagon on those quests. Like, I guess today was the, and here we are talking about Pokemon anyway. Today was like that Team Rocket type of event,
oh,
but
yeah,
they
I'll
keep
see.
Scheduling
it
that shit
froze
on Sunday night.
My game.
Well, they keep doing it on Sunday night.
Well,
I can hit it though before when I leave the house to come here. I can hit the Pokestop by my house.
So here's the weird thing: Pokemon Go gave my phone a new background. I don't know why. Like, it changed my wallpaper.
Did you tell it could?
No, it just did it. Like, it crashed.
What's the wallpaper? Is it a cute Pikachu?
No,
it's just
some pink. Like, looks like a mountain range or something. I had, like,
it's weird.
It's supposed to be a simulation of Earth with, like, the lighting and everything, and the cloud cover is supposed to match with what the weather satellites are, because that's kind of cool. And now it's gone. All right. Whatever.
What's the background on y'all's phone? I have a picture of Mr. Smush on my, well, you can't see it right now because I have apparently Twitter alerts that are in the way. Oh, because that's a good thing because y'all are promoing the show tonight because I barely did. But I have a picture of Mr. Smush as the background on my phone. You guys probably can't even see it from that far away, but that's what I have on
I tried
background.
To take a picture of a Dratini to see if that would count, and it doesn't.
You can turn off the AR thing, and it's a lot easier to do pictures and stuff.
No, I wanted to take the AR because I did it on top of my MacBook, and it's got your knee in the picture.
Oh, my sexy knee. I'm sure I'm being a little bit of a
that knee,
harlot
though.
Tonight by showing off my knees. On
that knee.
Uh-huh. All right, anyway. It's hot today. I can't. How could I not wear shorts? Everybody's wearing shorts because it's 106 today here in lovely Sacramento where we're based.
The ambient temperature coming off of my car when I got in, it was 115.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. All right. Anyway, let's talk about the weather. More talk about games. And Dark Soccer, you braved the weather this weekend because
Girl,
you went on a road trip off to San Jose, right?
I didn't brave the weather. I left it.
So tell
San
us,
Jose was like, it didn't get any hotter than like 88.
Yeah, but that's typical Bay Area. But anyway, tell us about California Extreme.
It was the thing I go to every year. Basically, in a nutshell, California Extreme is a big gaming expo where they have like a huge ballroom full of pinball, classic games, music games, and they've got a big candy cab section now, the Japanese style cabinets. And then they have like a whole other room now that's just like a big meeting room that's also full of games. And then they have a vendor room upstairs with a stage to do Rock Band, kind of how Umlaut did their thing. And then, classic consoles also set up there. So it was really good. It goes on for 2 days. I forgot what time it opens. I think it opens at like 9 or 10, but it goes to 2 in the morning on Saturday. And then Sunday all day. And people, you know, bring their own machines. Some people sell them there. Stern has a big presence. And I twice ran into Steve Ritchie. And he's like, oh, hi. Because, you know, we're Facebook buddies.
That's funny.
Yeah. And he was, I was like, let's get a picture together. He's like, I got to go take my pills. I'm like, okay, Steve. He's not a chicken of the spring anymore. But he's just a good guy. He and his wife are the nicest people you'll ever meet. They had all kinds of really good games, which I could go ahead and do now and get my gaming week out of the way for everything I played.
Yeah, so, well, I was hoping there might be stuff outside of California Extreme for that, but
it's
all right.
Well, no, I hardly played anything outside of California Extreme except for the usual.
We'll get into a little bit of what you played at California Extreme then.
Okay, so I played Black Knight Sword of Rage, which was amazing as always. And if you were ever going to buy a Black Knight Sword of Rage, get the premium. Don't get the pro. The premium
and this is that brand new table, right?
Yeah, okay. Maybe 3 months old. They had the Ms. Pac-Man Mini, like the cabinet that's like a 2/3 my height.
Are those like those arcade one-up machines?
Yeah, I think that's what they were.
Interesting. I'm surprised that those are kind of... Yeah, those have an interesting place in this day and age, right? Because like I would think in some ways those might be frowned on because they're not authentic Ms. Pac-Mans, but they sure do give a fairly authentic experience. I mean, the screens are the only big difference. Like you can really notice the screens on those arcade one-ups are not the same thing you remember playing on
an LCD screen.
Yeah, they're more
one
like
of the
LCDs.
Ones they had was a RoboCop.
Oh, really?
And then they had an even smaller one that didn't look like it was in the same thing. So it could have been custom, but it was an Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. So they had some interesting ones there. They didn't have any of like, I mean, those are almost like the junior size one, but they didn't have the junior size Neo Geo.
You know, I bet that Arcade 1-Up company was probably like advertising there, actually. They probably had some type of deal to have their machines there because that is the perfect crowd to be selling those things
mm-hmm,
to,
mm-hmm.
You know, classic arcade game fans with disposable income. That is their crowd. So I wouldn't be surprised if those machines were there because like Arcade 1-Up kind of wanted them there.
And they did have, from what I could notice, fewer of the pinball and arcade board vendors and more of the classic video game vendors. Although I tried to find Saturn and TurboGrafx stuff, and they were very sparse. They still the place that I buy from, Tiny Potato. I really like those guys. I hang out and chat with them every year. They have a copy of Cotton for PlayStation that I would really like to buy, but it's $90. I keep waffling on it, you know. But I mean, it was really a fun time. All the vendors were really nice. Everyone was really friendly and chatty. And one of the vendors watched me open a couple of blind boxes because he went in. He's like, can I predict them first? I'm like, sure. So he shakes the two of them. I grabbed like the Dig Dug blind set, which you could get one of three characters. So, you know, he had a 2 out of 3 choice. I was like, this one is a Puka And this one is the, I always forget the name of the dragon.
The Rygar.
Frygar. He's like, this one's a Frygar. I wanted to say Rygar, but that's a video game.
Because the game Rygar, but yeah, it's Frygar.
I was thinking Rygar, and I was like, so he shook him. He's like, this one's a Frygar, this one's a Puka. So when I opened them, one was a Frygar, one was a Puka. I wouldn't have minded a Digdug, but I like having the baddies, so they're cool. And Pukas are cute. But at any rate, they were missing some stuff this year. Just some things that I expected to be there this year that were not. There were lots of panels. Steve Ritchie did a panel about developing Black Knight. There was one about DJ Maxx.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, at 7:30. And I didn't go to it because I was hanging out with Melody. But Mel went to it, which, by the way, preview. We may have Mel on next week.
Yeah, I heard he was thinking about, is he going to come up here? Are we doing something?
He wants to come up taped? Here.
Awesome. Talk I would about, love to have him back on the show.
Talk about the...
Have a DDR night.
Let's, Infinity let's stage.
Yeah.
That he's going to be working with. But, you know, there was a pretty decent music game section, but they didn't... I was looking for a couple of things. They didn't have it, although they did have that nostalgia game by Konami. That looks kind of like a keyboard, but not really a keyboard.
I think I know what you're talking about. It's a newer game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen it.
Musica, which I finally got to play. It was fun. They had Mai Mai. Do you know what Mai Mai is?
Big
yes. circle that's got the buttons and the Samba de Amigo pattern and the slide. Yes. I played that, and it had an Opa Opa song, so I was very happy. I'm not great at it. You know, it was just my first time playing it, but I think I did okay. So as they had a bunch of DJ Maxx, though. They had some U-Beat. They had a couple of the Bishibashi, so that was pretty fun. They had a real prop cycle, not the prop cycle, Adam's Family. They did have an Adam's Family, though. But, you know, there were certain, the Blastroids that used to belong to us was there. So it was pretty funny. Dan's like, I'm going to go see our Blastroids. But anyway, so what I played there was I played Black Knight Sword of Rage. I played the Ms. Pac-Man Mini. I played Pac-Man and Chomp Chomp, which is a very weird, little more recent Pac-Man game. JJ Squawkers, which sucked. I played Sonic the Fighters. Played Azumanga Daioh Puzzle Bobble. So it's basically Puzzle Bobble with the girls from Azumanga Daioh in it. So easy peasy. I played Mai Mai. I played Virtual and Oratario Tangram. Which was really fun. They were in the Japanese cabinets and they were back to back. And I was just trying to play through, you know, the story mode. And this one person just keeps challenging. I'm like, I was just so stubborn. I was like, I just want to beat you and be done. And he kept doing it over and over. And like six games in, I'm like, okay, I'm done. And I just let him win. You know, I just ran in with the sword and was like, if you can beat me at close range, then you win. And so I walked around and just poked him on the shoulder. I was like, good game, dude. And he's like, it's a girl, you know, like the total, it's a girl look,
oh my
you
God,
know.
A girl speaks to me.
Pretty much.
It's like the ending of Metroid for the very first time.
Yeah. But I played Dodonpachi. I played Big Bang Bar. So they had a Big Bang Bar, but it was, I think it was a repro because of the glass on it. I played Musica. I played some regular old Pac-Man, but it was in one of those, I forgot what they're called, like the marquee cabinets, the narrower ones. With a smaller screen.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name.
Dan called him something, and I didn't remember.
If you bring up Pac-Man, did they have my all-time fave, Baby Pac-Man?
I didn't see Baby Pac-Man, because I would have played the shit out of it.
Depressing. For those of you that... Go Google Baby Pac-Man if you don't know it. Because Baby Pac-Man, the reason why I love that game so much, I remember it as a kid, it is half, like, Pac-Man, duh, arcade game. But then there's a point where when you go out the tunnels... You don't, like, warp to the – well, you do when you go out the side. But when you go – there's tunnels in the bottom. And when you go out the bottom tunnels, you drop into a pinball board. And yeah. So it's half Pac-Man, half pinball, and it's so cool.
I didn't play Journey either because apparently the joystick was a little messed up. But I also played, you know, Crazy Auto, which was a kind of backwards re-theme of Ms. Pac-Man. Because Ms. Pac-Man started life as a Pac-Man like expansion.
Yeah, it was like a Pac-Man
and,
Plus, right?
And then they were going to release it under the name Crazy Auto with a walking character and everything, and then, you know, Namco and shit happened and Ms. Pac-Man. I also played Beatlemania Pinball, and I played the Sega Tetris that's got the big fat blocks. Like, you only have, like, 10 block spaces to work with. It's kind of hard, But it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. There was also, you know, there was a few other, there's a bunch of cave shooters like Mushihime-sama and what was it? Battle Garega. What else did I play? No, it was Dodonpachi that I played because I love that game. But yeah, they just had all kinds of neat stuff. I mean, there were a bunch of, the Street Fighter ones, like starting from Third Impact all the way up through 5. They had an arcade machine for 5. And they had Melty Blood, just all kinds of neat import games over in that area. So it was really neat. You know, it was just a fun time and hanging out with my friends and, ran into Bradley, like you do. And I played with the toddler.
What kind of like vendors were there? Because aren't there usually like around the edges of the rooms, there's like some vendors selling like classic arcade things? Like what did you see there?
There was like one DIY vendor outside doing like etched glass. And there was another one inside also doing etched glass, like for mugs and pint glasses and shot glasses. I said there weren't so many pinball part vendors like there were in previous years. Marco Pinball, of course, was one of the sponsors with Stern for bringing in a lot of the because they had like that big Stern section that had like Black Knight, Deadpool, all of that, and so they were selling parts and stuff for Marco. There was the shirt vendors for California Extreme. There were just a lot of like kitschy knickknacky stuff for the video game merch, like the blind boxes and Mario mugs, and there was a doormat that I wanted one that says "Welcome to Peach's Castle." It was kind of cute. And they had, like, throws and everything, like blankets. And this is nothing super exciting. Maybe, if I was trying to decorate my teenage bedroom, that might be something. Or if, we start getting into decorating the game room or something. It was all nice stuff. I got my two little things to put on my desk at work. And I got patches, actually. I got an Atari patch. I got a Link Shield, the Hyrule Shield. Patch, and I got a super mushroom because I'm gonna make a patch jacket. So
fun! You need to get some of those old school Activision achievement patches for your jacket.
We'll see.
I would love that. I would love somebody.
I'm sure there's repros.
There's got to be repros of that. Etsy. I would love to get an awesome jacket with like all the Activision badges. I think that would be cool. Yeah, there's got to be like an Etsy or something. One of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Activision themselves would do it though. Because They as much love or hate Activision in their current state today, for those of us that were, cool kid Atari 2600 folks, like, it would be nice to, get our hands on some of that type of merch, right?
So I did buy a few things though.
Oh yeah?
I bought the compact old school Game Boy case. It's this maybe I don't know if anyone can see my hands.
Well, they can on the podcast anyway, so.
Anyway, it's actually honestly about the length of this microphone.
Okay.
And it has enough space for.
They can see mine.
It has enough room in it for a Game Boy on one side and then maybe like 4 games total on the other.
I think I used to have one of those
and
cases.
It's a hard case. And I was like, I don't have a Game Boy to put in it. We don't have an old school Game Boy anymore. But I could make like a purse or something out of it. It'd be fun.
Oh.
Or, like a first aid kit.
Yeah.
I thought it would be neat. I only paid $5 for it. And then I got the Game Gear magnifier. I mean, he wanted $8 for it, but I actually got the two items together for $10, because you haggle. You haggle when you go to the classic gaming table. I got a game called Air Adventures for Saturn that I never played, but like this one guy traded it in with a stack of other games, and when the fellow was looking it up, he's like, oh, it's only worth $1. I was like, I'll give you $2 for it. I was like, okay. So I took it, sight unseen, $2. Because it's another Saturn game, and I thought it'd be fun to try something new, that I hadn't played before. I didn't really do, a whole bunch of shopping. I didn't buy any T-shirts, but they had some fun little stuff, and I love blind boxes. So I now have my Puka and Frygar.
You need to start a YouTube channel opening blind boxes. Do you know, how popular those types of videos are?
Yeah, but these are different than like those little blind boxes, the gift blind boxes.
Mm.
It's people order the Amazon returns or the blind boxes on Etsy or not Etsy but eBay. Those are the ones that get money, or the people who buy the storage units. I don't know.
Let me ask you one more thing about California Extreme, and then we'll get on into the rest of our gaming weeks, the type of stuff we've been playing. But, you know, you've been going to the convention for several years now. What was your favorite thing about the convention this year? And, well, let's start there. What was your favorite thing about the convention this year?
I don't know. Just, I guess, more seeing my friends.
The people.
Yeah,
that's
the people.
The hanging out with nerds.
Hanging out
Heck
with
yeah.
nerds.
Heck yeah. That's one of my favorite parts.
Actually,
Dragon Con, MagFest, any con I've been to in the past.
The two things that I heard the most that made me happy was, one, I like your hair. And number two, I like your shirt. I was wearing my crazy red shirt for Animal Crossing that says Seems Legit.
Oh.
I was going to wear my Sheikah shirt. And I was like, you know, I'm going to wear crazy red. It's a little bit bigger. It's a little more comfortable. And everyone's like, oh my God, your shirt. Let me take a picture of your shirt. And I'm like, okay.
And then I think probably the obvious follow-up to that would be, what would be one thing that you would want to see them do next year that they haven't done yet?
I want...
Or they're not doing.
I would like a whole room of nothing but... I'd like them to put the Candy Cabs and the Bomani, the music games, in their own room.
That sounds like you get so much noise pollution though in that. But I guess if you set up barriers the right way, if you kind of thought it through, there'd probably be a way to make it a little more tolerable.
And there's actually one other thing, because when I was talking to Tiny Potato guys there, they said that they weren't given any lighting where they were, so people couldn't. They had to go to Target and buy lamps. And I was like, you really need to take better care of your vendors.
Mm.
You know, don't put people in dark little corners with no lighting. That's not fair to them. If you are going to have the vendors be in a place other than where they usually are, you need to make sure you have sufficient lighting so that people can see those items and they're not wasting money renting the space.
Okay, that's good feedback. I think that's exactly the type of thing I think would be good for them to hear.
But so. I think that next year, though, I actually want to officially try to go as press.
Next year, I want to go, period, because I've missed it so many years in a row. But this is also, you know, and generally, like, personally, this is also a hard weekend. So it's like, you know, it's just a bad time of year for it, you know.
Yeah, but I'm going to put in for press next year.
You should.
So that we can go in and interview people and do panels, go to the panels.
Yeah, get some of them for some break segments, get some interviews. That'd be awesome.
Maybe we should even, like, petition to do a panel.
You never know. I mean, at this point, we would be a classic podcast. Don't you think?
Classic podcast of the week.
Do they have games from 2002 in there that are classic games? I think we would count.
There was also another game in there. I forgot the name of it, but it was like the super field goal football baseball mixture game. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. Bobby in chat is saying, I'd love to go too. Probably won't be able to swing it. Yeah, I think him and I are in similar predicaments as to why he can't come out here for California Extreme and why I can't go out there for the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which is really, it's really their equivalent is what that show is. So
yeah,
it's kind of funny.
But I mean, it's really fun. You know, I had a great time. Like I said earlier, I was toddler tired when I was done because I didn't want to stop playing, but I was tired.
Was it that super slam dunk?
Yeah.
Touchdown.
We had that guy on the show a long time because they were at GamerX second or third year. Yeah, we had them on the show.
I remembered it, but everyone in Dance Pinball Group was like, oh my God, it was so much fun.
It's a fun game.
They had a killer bee there.
It's been out a while now. Yeah.
They had a killer bee. Okay. Or killer queen. That was it. Hmm. Which I still haven't played that game, but everyone says it's really fun, so...
Bobby in chat says, the toddler tired thing is why I got a hotel room at Southern Fried so I didn't have to drive home at night. And yeah, I think that's why like a lot of people like kind of, even if the convention is like right by you, you know, a lot of people, if they have the income, I mean, certainly, you know, how much money you do or don't have and are able to spend on that type of stuff plays a factor. But if you're fortunate enough to be able to swing it, like I think a lot of people are just like, I'm just going to plan to stay on site. They're doing a big Ingress thing in downtown Sacramento on October 12th. I'm considering getting a hotel room in downtown Sacramento because of the whole toddler tired thing.
Yeah, I need to get in on that information.
Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah. Come join us. Anyway. All right, let's talk about the rest of our gaming weeks outside of the convention of California Extreme, which I really do hope to attend next year. And congratulate those guys on their success because everybody I talk to that goes loves it. And it's always like a bad like timing conflict. I think one year, speaking of GamerX and the game there, I think one year it was the same weekend as GamerX, and that was an issue. I think it was the year GamerX was up in San Francisco. California Extreme was like the same weekend. I seem to remember that was the thing that happened one year.
I think I did go to that one, though.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, did you want to add anything else to your Gaming Week Dark Sakura outside of the convention?
The usual phone games. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Yeah.
And Pokemon Go froze my phone today.
It needs to stop doing that. Probably so many people getting in on that event, I guess, which sadly I've just lost track of. Loki, how about you? How was your gaming week?
I didn't play a lot of games this week. I played just a little bit of Pokemon Go.
Okay, but you did something video game adjacent. I know, because you invited me and I couldn't go. So yeah, let's talk about that.
I played more laser tag again. So I went last night. I tried to get a meetup group of people to go play some laser tag. I did have one of my friends show up with his kids, so we played for a little bit, and that was kind of fun. So we played that for a while at the local place here. Then today I went to a not quite local place, a little further away, to try out their arena and system and stuff to see if it's something I would like. I was hesitant to go there because it's twice as much, it's very far away, and I don't know. I just had kind of a bad feeling about it. And when we got there and played it, it was kind of jank a little bit. The arena's nice, and I like how some of the features that they have are kind of remind me of Quasar, but it's the guns themselves were really tiny, and they force you to push like two buttons on the side in order for you to actually be able to fire the gun. So you have to hold the two buttons on the side because they always want to make sure that you're using two hands. Whereas the place I play over here, they have an optical sensor. So you put your hand on the bottom and it detects it's there. You don't have to hold some stupid buttons. So forcing you to hold those tiny buttons actually cramps the hell out of your hand. And doing that even for just 20 minutes, I was like, fuck this place. I'm not coming back here. But I do want to check out all the places in the area. So I've played most of them now. But then I ended up driving back over here and playing a couple games. And so it's fun. I keep playing it. And I tried to actually have some footage shot. I got one of those action cameras. I just don't have the right settings on it right now. So it came out really grainy and dark because I have to adjust some of the settings on the camera, which is unfortunate because I had some pretty good games there. But it's hard to see what's going on. And I had it mounted to my head instead of like on my shoulder or something like that. And it was just really hard to see kind of what I was doing. You kind of miss a lot of it. So I'm going to try it again at some point. I may actually pick up another camera to try to maybe mount one to a gun, mount one to my shoulder or something to get some footage. Because I think that'd be really cool. But yeah, so I've been playing lots of laser tag. Because I used to play a lot of laser tag way back in the day. And it definitely still shows.
I like that you're having like your midlife crisis where you're rediscovering it all over again.
It's not that I never wanted to. If a Quasar were to open up tomorrow, I'd be playing there all the time.
Well, like, you're going to this new place a lot, which is pretty cool. Which, I really did want to go last night. And it's too much going
on. And it's like I'm so torn because that place, like, it has a decent arena, it has decent gear, but the people that run it are just not great. They're just like it's. You can tell that they're minimum wage kids that just don't care about being there. And I get it. You know, it's a job. I worked the job at a laser tag place before, so I understand what it's like. But, like, they don't know anything that's going on there. Like, they have stuff that they advertise on their website, like, about, like, a membership that you can do. So you get a membership, you give your own, like, call sign or whatever, and you can scan it, a card on the on the actual gun, and it'll pop up, like, your name instead of the names that are on the guns normally. And then also you, like, accumulate points towards something that happens. Like, I think you can select, like, exclusive weapons and stuff like that, which is kind of cool. So I thought, oh, yeah, I'll do that for myself and my kids because we've been playing here for a few times. And I go and ask them today about it because it is literally one of the tabs that's on their website is membership. It says, ask us when you come in. I'm like, okay, hey, what about that membership thing? How do I get you signed up on that? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, okay. And like the last week when we went to, like, we did their like 3-hour thing where they're supposed to have pizza. They're like, pizza didn't arrive on time. And they're like, well, we don't know where it is. You can tell it's just not very professional with the kids, right? But, like, I met the owner last night, and, you know, he obviously knows what's going on. He has another arena in San Francisco as well, and he commutes up here to run it sometimes. But, like, it was dead. It was dead on a Saturday night, and that's not a good sign. Yeah. It's not a good sign. They don't have anything in their lobby. Like, it's just empty. They have some ticket redemption games, and, like, even today, like, when we were leaving, there's, I don't know what it was. It looked like a rehab group or something like that, but a bunch of old dudes and looks like some other people with like uniforms on that, like, were taking them in a van back somewhere. I don't know, but
Okay.
I assumed it was like drug rehab or something like that. And so they were taking them back, and they gave us like a big thing, a big stack of tickets. They're all, here you go. You know, your kids can get some of the prizes here. And he had like shitty ass prizes.
With all the tickets,
this is just shit. It's just absolute shit.
Let me get some chat comments over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. VG Realness says, if laser tag is dead on a Saturday night, it won't be around much longer. Yeah.
And I know. Yeah. And it's really, it comes down to location and advertising. I've been to places.
They got
to
advertise. I had no idea.
It's in a business park, but you can see it from the road. So that's good at least. But I've been to another laser tag place that was also in a business park, and it just didn't last because nobody knows where it is.
Nobody needs to look for it.
And there's no advertising. They don't have much of a social media presence. There's no advertising. Whereas the other place I went to today, definitely, you know, a lot more popular, lots of people there. But they're way expensive. They have more of an arcade. They have, like, some bounce house shit that's there that really – I wouldn't pay any money for that. And they have their own, like, cafe. So they're definitely set up to kind of run a little bit better of an operation. But this place, it's struggling. And what they talk about, like...
Let me get some other comments. Sorry. Astro200 Matt is giving you photo advice, saying the camera will give you a lot of grainy footage in low light. But yeah, if you mess with the aperture or shutter speed and the video noise, it will look better. Obviously, more light would fix it, but you can't really do that in a laser tag arena.
Yeah.
Night vision would look good, but the strobe lights mess it up. Bobby is talking about the business park thing, saying most escape rooms are in a business park and they do fine around here last night. We just did one last night and it's way far back in a business park and it was pretty hopping. Yeah, those escape rooms, everyone that I've been to is in like a business park too. But they advertise, they get out there, they do stuff online. And
like they could utilize like print advertising, I think would really help them, like a mailer or something like that. So people know they're there. Only reason I found them is because I was searching for laser tag places in the area. Like I wonder, you know, where haven't I been? Yet, and I was like, oh, this one's, I didn't even know this was here, you know, and so I found it that way, and it ended up being pretty decent. It's just they need to get in touch with an arcade vendor to put some arcade games in that damn thing, because they're pushing like on their birthday packages, oh yeah, you can get like additional tokens and stuff like that, but to play what? There's like literally nothing there. Like I'm gonna at some point film some stuff and like put it up. I thought about like reviewing laser tag places. I thought that'd be kind of fun at some point.
Yeah, you should.
So as soon as I get a camera set up to do that, because
if only we had a camera in our pockets that goes with us everywhere we go.
Well, you know, I do, but like I'm talking about my action
cam. Make a project of it, yes.
So I do want to do that because it would be fun to go out, you know, review a bunch of places and stuff. Just from a perspective of someone that played a lot of laser tag, and so. Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I wish there's more people there, because really on a Saturday night, there should be quite a few people. Or even like during the day, like when we went there last week, there was birthday parties going through and it was pretty good. But like this week, there's no one there.
You know, and Kaijudo had made a funny comment earlier too, saying you can play laser tag in your house in VR on PSVR Rec Room. And VR laser tag is a good plan B when the places are not popping.
True, but it's just not the same thing.
It's like saying, you know, you can play a football game on your you know, Xbox, or you can go play football for real. You know, there's a difference.
And it is. And I like, you know, I like the games where it actually feels like there's skill involved in it. Like the first one I played, the reason I was not really attracted to that game at all is because, like, I can tell I can hit. I'm a pretty good shot with hitting people in games. I used to bounce shots off walls and stuff like that and do all sorts of crazy shit. Because I played, you know, I've played several thousand games of laser tag, and I, you know, the place I play now, it's just, you know, I can hit people just as well as I could before in Qzar. This other place we went to today, those guns, I swear to God, fucking sucked. Like, I could not hit shit with those guns, and it's definitely the guns, because like you're aiming straight on, the person's just like standing there and you just can't hit anything with it. And it's just the equipment. It really sucks, because it's good for, like, if you just have a bunch of kids running around, they don't give a shit, you know, then that's fine. But, like, for someone that actually wants to play it, you know, and actually get good at it and play it with people that want to play competitively, you can't when it's just, like, it's fucking random that your shit's going to work or not. So, anyways, that's enough talking about that.
That's fine. Moving on to my gaming week. So, as you guys know, after last week's show was a shorter show because I went to Chicago on business for the week. So, I was out of town Monday through Friday. That really kind of put a cramper in my ability to do gaming, but I did play a shit ton of Mario Maker 2 on the flight. And you might wonder, how do you play Mario Maker 2 when you're RNA playing? Easy. I was playing the single-player campaign pretty much the whole way. I was.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot to play there.
Yeah, there is. And I'm still only probably about like 50% of the way through because I'm very stubborn and I refuse to use the tools that will help you get through. Like if you die twice, then the little Luigi bag comes up and says, "Do you need help, dummy?" Like, it doesn't say it that way, but that's kind of like how.
Fuck you, Luigi. I don't need your fucking help.
So, and as you know, and I realize some people probably take full on advantage of it right away, and that's fine. Play games how you want to play games. But I'm like, no, I'm going to be a little more stubborn. I really want to see, because you know what? I feel like I make progress every time.
Yeah.
And there were some, like, it's not just like you get this assortment of levels, but then if you kind of like explore around the castle, there's like this dog that offers you levels, Underdog or whatever, offers you levels too. And his levels can be really hard. So I feel like in some of those levels, I like make a little bit of progression every time. So, you know, if I have 4 hours to kill on a flight, I'm fine with, you know, trying to make a little bit of
I wish they had, like, you know, advanced tutorials in those games that, about
Undo Dog.
All of the, like, you know, advanced techniques, like the shell jumps and stuff like that, you see, like, speedrunners and, like, Kaizo runners do. It's like, it's like, how do I get good at that stuff? Or let's step back. Let's not even go to good. How do I do that?
I would say I'm like only halfway through the campaign, and I think I've had to play like 25 levels and then some to, you know, so there's a lot of levels in there to play. So I was plenty flying entertained with Mario Maker 2 in single player modes. That was pretty much like my flight. I watched a movie as well. But then on the way back, the frickin', like, the headphone jack and the little TV didn't work. So I was going to watch another movie, but I couldn't do anything. So I was like, I just played the, and then I played Bejeweled on the seat. Cause you know how the airplane things, seatbacks have games on them.
I don't know.
I just played Bejeweled on the airplane. So there was that. Cause there's so few cell phone games that'll work when it has to be in airplane mode, you know? So that put a cramper in my game of week, except, of the Survivor LARP. I'm sure you're all ready for updates on that, right? Cause I was able to play that and that was very intense. A lot's been going on. So remember, my game started with 22 people. So the 10th place person was just voted out tonight. There's 9 people left, and I'm one of them. And they announced tonight that we are all the finalists and the jury. So so I've at least made the jury. So for those of you that watch or follow Survivor, you know that, like, that's a big, like, accomplishment. You're in every episode at that point. That's
yay.
So that's kind of good. I mean, obviously I can't, again, I don't know who's watching, so I can't talk a lot about the strategical stuff. All I can say was that today was like it's a big day. So yeah, there's a lot going on. So you know, it's getting more and more intense. Do you want to see what we had to do for the last immunity challenge, our first individual immunity challenge? Would you all like to see it?
Sure.
Because last week you guys got to hear about the talking thing, right?
Yes.
So now I'm going to show you a physical one. So because this is a physical one, for the sake of the podcasters, could you guys narrate what I'm doing, please?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So
Rob's going to play beer pong.
It's cup stacking. You're doing cup stacking?
Kinda. That's how it starts.
Okay.
So he's stacking cups.
So
he's
got
small end with the big end on top and then big end so that it looks like an hourglass.
Yep.
And then he's taking it and flipping it over sideways, holding it together.
And you hold this as long as possible.
So he's holding it that way.
Yep.
How long did you hold it?
I went, let me get back on my.
Yeah. Without using glue.
It looks deceptively easy, doesn't it? Because the first time when they explained it to us, I practiced it and I was like, this is much easier than the last cup stacking thing we had to do. This is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's about the small. So I went for about 15 minutes. And my understanding is the person who won immunity went for about 28 minutes. Basically what happens is that as you're kind of holding it, and because you have for the podcast listeners, you kind of, like, if you stack 4 cups, but you do them inverted each time. So you have like a big end, small end, big end, small end. So you kind of do it that way and then you flip it over. It is supposed to be inspired by an actual Survivor challenge that was on the Micronesia season, which was the last immunity challenge, which I believe is a similar thing. They had to hold like a stack of things horizontally that normally would be vertical, that type of thing. So, your forearms start to hurt after a while, because what happens is that if there's even the slightest movement in the cup, which is what happened to me about 10 minutes in, I just had a movement. I breathed wrong. I don't know. One of my cups slipped just a little bit. And so now you're pushing them together tighter because you're like, shit, they're not, like, the grip is kind of gone. So you have to move them together tighter. And then that starts to hurt your forearms faster. And so it's very, very interesting. But I mean, what an easy little thing to do that kind of makes for an interesting challenge. But I think a lot of those type of online games, have like Minute to Win It. I use it. You remember that old game show, Minute to Win It? They have those Minute to Win It style challenges. So that was kind of what it was. So anyways, SSU 100 Matt says, is Rob going to judge the fuck out of people? Uh-huh. Especially if I get voted out. Uh-huh. Sia Tabiri says, so are you going to be the Thorgy who makes the right decision? Absolutely. I will make the right decision at the end of the game. Well, why are you all assuming I'm going to be on the jury? Won't I be in the finals? Why are you all quick to assume I'm getting voted out?
Yeah, but no one trusts Thorgy anyway because he's a white guy with dreads.
All right. Anyway, so that's the update on that. So, yeah, supposedly Survivor is done in less than 2 weeks. I've been playing that game for a fucking month. And I'm like, it's so, like, mentally draining. Like, if I ever talk about that I do this type of shit again, and it's not, like, All-Stars or something like that, like, if it's just like, oh, Rob signed up for another game, like, you guys have permission to just, like, push me and start smacking me with the microphones over and over and beat some sense into me. You have my permission. So, all right. But I am having fun, and I'm meeting some really good people, so that's cool. All right. Anyway, that was my gaming week. Let's talk a little bit about other things going on in gaming news. So, Loki, why don't you start us off with some gaming news tonight?
So, we talked a little bit about the Joy-Con drift thing that was an issue last week that people started pointing out a little bit more, and there was a class action lawsuit. So, Nintendo has kind of addressed the issue by basically repairing these Joy-Cons for free now. And so what they're going to be doing is allowing customers to be able to send them in. They no longer have to request to provide proof of purchase for the Joy-Con repairs. They just basically send them in and it gets repaired. And then if you did pay for repair previously, they're going to refund your money that you spent on that. So that's good. I may end up taking advantage of this at some point.
And it sounds like they've kind of been cornered into caving into some of the pressure, because last week we were talking about a class action lawsuit showing up.
Well, I just wish they would just fix the design on it. Just fix whatever the issue is and then release them with the new, the new ones that come out, I guess.
Well, then Kaijudo in chat says, why not just mail everybody new Joy-Cons? Well, obviously, that's going to be a huge
expense. That's really expensive. And because considering that the fix, like the piece that they're replacing is really minimal.
Yeah.
And so to mail out a brand new control, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and if your Joy-Cons aren't fucked up, they don't want to just send you something that is going to set them back on costs. Like, again, my Joy-Cons are okay, knock on wood, for now, they're fine. But it's probably because I don't use my Joy-Cons that much. I play, like, I would say 90% of my Switch gaming is on that Pro Controller. And the only time I use those Joy-Cons is, like, traveling when I was, like, on the plane. I used the Joy-Cons to play Mario Maker 2. Because getting out the Pro Controller and the Switch on an airplane, that's a bit much. But using the Joy-Cons and all that was a little bit more like, like a Game Boy or something. It's just a really big Game Boy, basically. So, yeah, so that's about the one time I really used Joy-Cons. But even then, I'm still kind of using them attached to the system. So I think it's still a different type of wear and tear than when you have them and you're waving them around or doing other stuff.
Well, probably they don't have, like, third-party Joy-Cons yet. I mean, I get it that, that it'd be limited. But, like, I'm imagining something that's, like, attached to it that's kind of a Pro Controller type of controller or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit beefier that you'd be able to – that have different analog sticks or something would be kind of nice.
Now, Kaijudo in chat says, no, he's clarifying what he's saying, I mean, you call them up, say it's jacked up, and they mail you a new one case by case. Like, Xbox just sent everyone a refurb when it red ringed. Oh, yes, the coffins. They would send you the coffins for your Xbox.
But you had to send them your Xbox, though.
Yeah. So I get – but in a way, that is kind of what – because Nintendo's offering to fix these, right? So, but you're just not necessarily sending them. You're taking them in, right?
Yeah, you'd still have to mail it to them, I would think. It's just like the Xbox 360
stuff. Oh, I thought maybe they had like a network of approved fixers or something.
No.
Like, yeah, I guess you do probably have to send them.
No one can do that in store. Even like GameStop has their own. Like,
yeah, remember in the back of the PlayStation manual when it would say, here's the approved Sony like repair shops?
Oh, I don't remember.
There'd be like
that.
Two in all of Northern California.
Yeah. But yeah, no one really does that nowadays. But yeah, it's nice to see that they're taking care of this. But really, it shouldn't take a class action lawsuit to finally get around to actually fixing an issue.
Yeah, it was a little bit slow moving, I think, in that regard. But, I mean, it's good that they're at least, like, stepping up and trying to fix it as opposed to just trying to shove it under the rug, And I think we kind of knew this is what would ultimately
It's a
happen.
Better approach to take than what happened with the Red Ring, where it's like, oh, it's a small – it's just a small amount of users that are affected by it, nip it in the ass now, considering the price to fix it is probably pretty minimal.
Yeah, yeah. It would just be all those shipping costs, but a giant company like Nintendo gets, you know, buku contracts on shipping and stuff, you know, so I'm sure it's not so bad. So, all right, well, let's move on and talk about something that's going on with a Nintendo game. I think a lot of people were excited about Fire Emblem that came out over this weekend, right? I think Fire Emblem was out on Friday, so I know some people, I saw some people on Twitter talking about it. I have to admit, not a series I super get into. I'm not as into the tactical games unless it's Final Fantasy Tactics. No hate. I understand why people like their Fire Emblem, but it's just, you know, one of those games I just don't get around to. But a very interesting change happening with Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem Three Houses is going to be getting, and that's the game that just came out, is going to be getting a patch that will replace the male protagonist voice. So Nintendo has re-recorded the lines for male Blythe, that is the name of the male protagonist, because the voice actor, Chris Niosi, has had some allegations that have shown up against abusive behavior. Apparently, he's also been accused of having a tendency to break NDAs. He has been in other games, including Octopath Traveler, Pokemon, and Sailor Moon. So he has been replaced by Zach Aguilar from the games One Punch Man and Hunter x Hunter. And he was in the mobile game Fire Emblem Heroes. So they're going to basically do that. So Nintendo of America had mentioned in a statement, after assessing the situation, we decided to re-record the characters' voiceovers in Fire Emblem Three Houses and Fire Emblem Heroes with another actor. The voiceovers will be included in a future patch. The original voice actor, Niosi, put an apology on Tumblr after an ex-girlfriend called him out for emotional abuse and so forth, and he has admitted to horribly mistreating and abusing friends, colleagues, and even his significant others. So big yikes to all that, but definitely sounds like somebody Nintendo did not want to be associated with anymore. I couldn't help but be reminded of sorts of, I feel like we just had a story like 2-3 months ago about a Yakuza game, right? Or it was,
yeah,
it wasn't like Sega's Yakuza game. It was a different type of Yakuza game, right? Where
no, it was Sega's.
Was it Sega's game?
Yeah.
I thought it was a spinoff or something.
No, no, no. I think it was a spinoff, but it was a Yakuza game.
Oh, it was a spinoff of that series, basically.
Yes.
Okay. And they ended up replacing the guy in that who was
alcoholism.
No, he was like doing cocaine.
Oh.
And drugs are super frowned.
Yeah, he's a actor in Japan.
Yeah, because I think I've seen him before somewhere. I remember he was like a familiar looking guy. He must have been in some movie that I raised. But anyway, so he was replaced in that, and it was kind of like, oop, he just vanished from the game. But the interesting thing about patches is that it's, you know, I'm not, you know, what this guy did is pretty gross, and I understand why Nintendo doesn't want to be associated. But you know there's going to be those collectible people who are going to be like, well, I want to play the version that has the original guy in it, because it's going to be the more rare version. So if I take my Switch offline, I can hear that one. Even though in this day and age of YouTube, you would think, well, if you really just want to hear the subtle differences between the two interpretations of the character, there's going to be YouTube's galore and things like that. But it does create this interesting like pre-patch, I guess, space of trying to see things before they were changed. And I would think even in the case of the Yakuza game that got flipped, there's probably the same type of fascination, I suppose, going on. I think that's a good word for it, fascination. You know, even if you're like, you know, you understand with the reasons and everything like that, there's still that curiosity about, I wonder what it sounded like originally, if that makes sense. Interesting, because Bobby brings up a completely different type of situation with voice actor replacement, talking about justice for Peter Dinklage, which you might remember, he was the original voice actor in Destiny for the little, I forgot that thing's name, the Ghost. Destiny Ghost, right? So he was the original voice, that little thing, and he wasn't very good.
No.
It wasn't very well done. So in one of the later, I think it was expansions, like just in the middle of the night, Nolan North came and replaced him. Like just came across the wall and replaced him as the voice actor, and Peter Dinklage was suddenly patched out. And that's an interesting scenario too, because, you know, you kind of have to download those patches because Destiny is an always online persistent type of game.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case with something like Fire Emblems or, you know, the Yakuza game we had a little while ago.
Well, nowadays it is,
I guess.
Remember, they did some. We had something similar.
You must sign into your Nintendo Network account. I don't want to spoil what's coming up, but you all know what's coming.
They had a recall member of Little Big Planet. Remember that? because the
the music there was a
the
song
music
in there,
was in there, and the I had one of the original versions that had
like the license hadn't really cleared for it, but the disc got out anyway. Yeah,
well, it was you know it wasn't that is because there was some language in there. It was some foreign words that was offensive somehow. And so,
right.
And so that they had to take this
song.
It
was religion or it
religion,
was like a religious thing, and they were that can be shaky ground, you know.
So, but I did have the original version of that, which I had it in there before they pulled it, because they recalled all of them, and I didn't send mine back. I think I ended up selling it later on, but yeah, it was kind of
probably
fun.
Didn't sell it for enough. If it was, yeah, interesting.
Well, it was patched out later too, so
yeah. Let's see, going to chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Pixelpacas in chat says, I mean, if you have a cart copy, the patch isn't going to overwrite that data, right? No, I would imagine it wouldn't. So, I mean, all you would have to do is delete the local data for the game from your Switch, and it's only going to be – I mean, you may not be able to play online. You may not be able to do some of the things that – because I believe if you do not have the most current version of a Nintendo game – it won't let you play online until you patch it, but you can certainly play it offline and connect it to the internet, and that's how, you know, I imagine people would do it. Mm-hmm. But most people aren't going to bat an eyelash, or they just put their Switch on the dock overnight, and it's on their home network, so the thing's just going to update whether you want it to or not, and most people are never going to know that this voice actor was just suddenly replaced.
No.
But, yeah, it's also just this interesting day and age that we live in where they can do that type of stuff.
Or they can remove music from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas because they run out of, the license runs out.
Yeah.
And patch it out of the game, which is annoying.
SG 100 Matt reminds us of another case recently. JonTron was taken out of Yooka-Laylee because there's, you know, controversy there as well. So we'll just leave it at that. So there's
and
a lot.
And this is what happens when you're a shit to people.
So, yeah. Well, don't be a shit to people for one. But, yeah. So. Anyway, okay,
it's
so
it's better to be the shit than be a shit.
Okay, so we kind of touched a little bit tangentially there another issue that's all over the internet this week. So Dark Sakura, tell us a little bit about what's going on here.
Oh, shenanigans.
Oh, sorry, real quick, because Questbuster with a great comment about this isn't just games in this day and age. Questbuster says, reminds me when Ridley Scott literally reshot everything that had Kevin Spacey in it for his movie, all the money in the world, replacing him with Christopher Plummer. That's right. They do that in movies, too. So obviously, Kevin Spacey, yikes. So they reshot everything that with somebody else. And didn't he, I think, that Christopher Plummer got an Oscar nomination for it, because I think in Hollywood, you know, they kind of, you know, Hollywood's a weird, so it's like they kind of knew, like he did that last minute and so he kind of got an Oscar nom for it. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right, now we can move on. Sorry, I thought that was a very interesting comment, like, oh, it's not just games.
Well, okay, so as a lot of people know, the first three Doom games kind of had this mass release on consoles and mobile devices, but it had this Bethesda login requirement. And
remember playing Doom on the PC back in the day when you had to log into your Bethesda account in order to get connected on Doom 2 with your friends? Yeah,
exactly. It's like log into BNet. Remember that?
BNet is BattleNet also. Like, what is that about? BNet is BattleNet.
Well, anyway, they are patching that out. It caused a lot of memes. It was great. But they put out an announcement, and I'll just read it directly. This came out on the 27th, so this was yesterday. Update on our new classic Doom releases. The Bethesda Net login requirement was included for the Slayers Club to reward members for playing the classic Doom games. The login should be optional, and we're working on changing the requirement to optional now.
We were just trying to help.
You know what the best part about that is,
too?
The
Slayers Club.
So, like, since they got rid of the original versions, they delisted those, which had multiplayer, by the way. And then these don't have the online multiplayer.
The new ones don't have multiplayer?
They don't have the online multiplayer.
Why? That's like the whole point. Why the fuck else do you play Doom 2? For the story?
Local multiplayer.
That's like reading Playboy for the articles. Get the fuck out. Anyway.
Honestly, I'd never liked to play multiplayer Doom. I liked multiplayer Duke Nukem. But I didn't like to play Doom multiplayer. I just like to play by myself.
I loved Doom 2 multiplayer. I used to. There was a BBS we would call into, and it would help connect your Doom games. And I think I was rocking my was it my 386 still? No, it couldn't have been. I think it was my 486.
Had it been 486.
100 megahertz at the time. And I would play Doom in a tiny ass window so that I could actually have the fluid motion when I was playing online. It was so fun. Like, kids today wouldn't understand.
I had black and white Doom for Mac Classic that I would sneak and play during the middle of my typing class in college. At any rate, you know, the games are out now. Doom and Doom 2 are $4.99, and Doom 3 is $9.99, and you can play them on iOS and Xbox, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and Android. So, yeah, none of them have the multiplayer. We don't really...
That is so stupid, because I have the one on Xbox 360, which they made backwards compatible with Xbox One. So it's in your Xbox One library. And as far as I remember, you can still play that one online. I don't know anybody else that has
they
it.
They delisted that, so you can't sell, so that you can't...
you can't get it again, basically. We'll
you can't buy
some,
it.
We'll just build some 486s and have some LAN go on.
Seriously, we need to do a PC Doom Night. Hell yeah.
Let's
or Duke
do
Nukem.
It.
Honestly, Duke Nukem was the best at all.
I liked the voice macros.
Oh, yeah. Like, Duke Nukem was like the creme de la creme of those 90s shooters, I think, because that's the one I remember playing in the college dorm. We would be yelling at each other from down the hall, like when we get killed. Those were the days. Those were the days. Mm. Anyway, so what were some of your favorite memes you guys saw? Of course, Bobby Blackwolf.
The Sonic ones.
Bobby Blackwolf in our chat. He did a little thing on his podcast. He had a little graphic that came up that said he needed a Bethesda account to listen to his podcast. I'm sure somebody clipped it, and it's over on Twitch.
I'll be honest, I didn't really see all that many.
He also did one for his Tesla, which is funny.
Oh, yeah, the one he did for his Tesla was funny, too.
Oh, yeah, I saw a Tesla being towed yesterday.
That wasn't Bobby's Tesla. Bobby did something on Twitter where I think there must be a drawing app or something on those big screens, and he put, like, you must log into your Bethesda Net account to turn on your car, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. But, yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So. I just thought some of the classic 8-bit memes were great with the whole, like, you know, you must log into your Bethesda Net account to find our princess in another castle, you know, things like that. Just good stuff. You gotta love Twitter going crazy with the memes. Good stuff. Anyway.
It's always fun when Bethesda is a joke, which is all the time nowadays.
Why would you put out something again? Like, I get the whole, like, oh, we want to put Doom on iOS and all that stuff. Why would you take out the multiplayer? Like, just...
I don't want to run the multiplayer servers for 5,000, please.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know what that's all about, but that's unfortunate. Isn't there some Reddit out there? I swear to God, I saw some Reddit where it was like, will it run Doom? And it's them installing Doom, because the Doom source code was public some time ago, I think. I think they made it for something. So they get Doom running all these things, because I remember recently there was some type of exploit within – it was either the Harry Potter game or Pokemon Go game. One of those games, you could launch a full-on web browser from within the game. So somebody had them playing Doom within Pokemon Go. And, like, that's the type of shit you see on Reddit where, like, you know, running – it's called, like, running Doom or Doom – I don't know. But it's what can you install Doom on? So it's weird that this is so timed where it's like, yay, we got Doom on iOS and all this stuff, but we fucking changed it. It's a little silly. I don't know.
Just play it on PC. Like, you have a PC that runs.
I know.
If you have a PC, you have a PC that runs Doom.
You sure do. Bobby Blackwolf says, yeah, you know this will open next year's E3 presser. You think they're going to be that tongue-in-cheek enough to start their E3 presser and then have a splash screen saying, you must have your Bethesda Net account to continue? I could see them phrasing it a different way to poke fun at it. They might say, like, they might show a sample login screen. Please log into your Bethesda account. And then the person types Doom.
I would think that they are not going to do that. And the reason, because we're talking, like, almost a year away. I mean... Why bring
the memes shelf life?
Why
is not
bring
long enough.
Why bring that back up? Why remind people that you fucked up in a way? Because I'm sure between now and June of next year, they're gonna fuck up in dozens of ways that are gonna be far greater than what we have with just Doom. So
I honestly think next year's E3 presser, they just open with the theme from the Elder Scrolls and then show off Elder Scrolls 6, and it's just like
at this point they should just fucking mock the South Park I'm sorry video and just have Todd Howard apologizing.
To be fair to the folks in chat, SG100 Matt says they were able to joke about themselves about Fallout 76. They will rip themselves plenty.
Oh yes, and that worked out so well for them.
They brought up Fallout 76 stuff, SGO and Matt says they made jokes about the arrow to the knee stuff in the presser. Do you know, like, I've heard
that joke was in Mortal Kombat 11.
Oh, yeah. I heard that arrow to the knee stuff so fucking much that when I was – do you remember I randomly started playing Skyrim VR when I was, like, getting into PlayStation VR? Like, I got to the point where the guy really says that, and I did, I'm like, is this guy being a meme? Oh, no. Oh, this is the actual arrow to the knee part. Like, I had that, like, whoa, meta moment type of thing going on. Like, oh, it's an arrow to the knee joke. Oh, wait, no. This is – the arrow to the knee line. I am.
And what's great is like you have those guards that say that, and then they run straight up to a dragon, and start hitting it with a sword, and get like torched by fire, and they're like, "Eh."
No, but I was actually watching like all the intros on Mortal Kombat 11 to get the references, and it's totally a line, even today.
Yeah,
my favorite is the mod for Skyrim. Whenever they say that line, they get struck by lightning.
Sia Tiberi in chat says, it's like right in front of my salad. Oh, I still use that today. In fact, I think the last time I used it was in one of these type of games. I think it was like the Survivory type games. So I think it was a different one that was going faster. And something happened that I didn't like. And I just said to the other person, I was like, really? Right in front of my salad? You're going to do that? So those memes.
I don't know what that's from.
Oh, you know. So there was a gay porn that was shot. And I don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're full on like having sex in the kitchen, but they're doing it like the counter is up here. So they're like down here. And the girl who I don't know if she's supposed to be somebody's girlfriend or if she's like, you know, the fruit fly, the flame dame type of thing or what. But she's like eating her salad and she's like, she looks and she goes, are you guys fucking? And she goes, really? Right in front of my salad?
That's pretty great. And honestly, that would be me.
It was.
I'd be like, don't do that in the kitchen. That's unsanitary.
It was improv'd, yeah. I think. And now, of course, she is now like famous. You know, she's making her coin off that whole thing. I think they put her in legit movies and stuff. You know, they made a sequel to a porn. She's not even a porn actress. She was just like the salad chick. Oh. But now she's getting in all these porns because she's the salad girl. She's the salad tosser.
But honestly, that would be – I'd just be like, that's unsanitary. Don't do that in the kitchen.
Oh, Pixel Paca says that porn company has a weird thing about girls discovering the screwing. And Sia Tiberi says it's the girlfriend. The one guy is pretending to be an in-home cooking class thing for the boyfriend. And then it went to, like, sex. Okay. I guess
of course it did.
Thank you all for explaining the plot. And for your later browsal, SG100 Matt has linked the Safe for Work version on YouTube. If you wish to go look at that, I'm going to assume that there's black bars because it's on YouTube covering up the...
Like I'm offended by cock. I'm just offended by
You've
things.
Seen one, you've seen them all. I'm offended
Boring.
By that salad dressing. All
right. Oh, yeah, she's just like, uh-uh.
It's also the way she says it. She's like, really? Anyway.
I
can't believe we're talking
about... That is a tall counter, too.
Maybe.
Oh, that's a bar. Never mind. Oh, I see.
Maybe this whole meme thing does have weight, because here we are talking about the salad chick, and that was like 2 years ago.
I'm saving that now so I can watch it when I get home.
Okay, yeah. You got to do homework, sure. All right, anyway. Let's move on. All right, Loki, then if you don't like this topic, how about a new one?
We'll talk about Grand Theft Auto Online. And, sure. You know, there's been an issue with loot boxes being compared to gambling and, you know, that a lot of companies could get in trouble because of in-game gambling mechanics might kind of run afoul of some online gambling laws. Well, Take-Two said, fuck all that, let's put gambling in our game. So they opened up the Diamond Casino in Grand Theft Auto Online. So you can actually go in there and buy chips and gamble and you win money. And of course, because this is Grand Theft Auto Online, you can buy shark cards with real money and get in-game money to gamble with and stuff like that. So because of that issue, certain countries can actually... purchase the in-game cards or even do some of the gambling games in there because of different local laws. So, for example, Iceland, Iran, Peru, and Vietnam are some of the countries that you can't access most of the casino, and also that certain things you can't buy the penthouse in the casino as well. and you're not actually able to virtually gamble in there. So it's interesting that they have to go this route to kind of get around the different laws, but it's what happens when you put actual gambling in your game. Granted, yes, you can't actually get real money from this, but you can pay real money for it. And someone with gambling tendencies wants to win that in-game, you know, money to buy like some fake car in there. They may be tempted to drop real world money to buy chips, and so it's kind of an issue.
No, that's something fascinating that I wouldn't have thought about, is that you might have like this like real world gambling you know, issue, and that you kind of act out through online games because maybe it's less of a problem because it's a fake game, but in at the same time,
you're
still
acting out.
Yeah,
I mean, you could get like, if someone has gambling tendencies and you're betting like fake money, you're still going to have the same response like to that, even though you're not winning real money. And because of that, you're like, oh man, no, I'm down. I just need to, I'm going to pay $10 and get some more money, and then I'm going to get back on top and win that money back. You could have like that same kind of tendency, and they fucking know what they're doing. They fucking know what they're doing. They know people are going to, there's some people out there that are going to do that, and they don't care because they're making money off of it. So it is what it is. Some people, though, of course, being the internet age, are getting around these restrictions by using VPNs because they can. So even this won't necessarily stop them, but that may be illegal in your country if you do that.
Interesting. All right. Well, let's move on to another topic. This is one that I think many of us have unfortunately had to deal with when playing games. And maybe, you know, earlier we were kind of having a laugh about the Doom Online and the fact that it's been removed. But, you know, some of us maybe aren't playing games online the way we used to. And the reason why is because of assholes. Harassment is really what it is. And this week, making its way around the gaming blogs, is a new survey by the Anti-Defamation League, or ADL. And as part of their report, they reported that as many as two-thirds of online gamers in the U.S. had experienced what they called severe harassments. Half of the responders of the survey said that their race, religion, ability, gender, sexual orientation, or ethnicity was something that made them a target. And 30% claim they've been doxxed in an online game. That one really – that seems so high.
All they had to do was ask a woman.
Oh, yeah.
And no, we would have told them.
I'm absolutely not going like, wow, I can't believe it's this rampant. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, absolutely it's this rampant, and I'm sure. But I'm just – the 30% doxx, I'm like, that's – wow. Mm. That's scary. And a quarter of respondents – said that online they have been exposed to white supremacist ideology, that also being a part of the ADL report, which obviously is a whole nother yikes, and, you know, just leave it at that. But unfortunately, I think those of us that have been on a rando map online or something, unfortunately, yeah, I've heard all that stupid shit when playing things like Destiny and Halo and that type of stuff online with randos, and it's why I really don't like fucking playing with randos online anymore. I don't fucking do it on Xbox Live or that stuff. Xbox Live is for playing with my friends. VOG Network people are fine because I feel like if you are at the level enough where you want to come hang with us in online clubs and things like that, then you kind of know. You accept these rules of you're not going to be a fucking asshole because you know Bobby will ban you if you do.
I want, like, though, there to be team mute, that you vote and you mute somebody.
I want to say, and I could be wrong, I want to say either Halo or Destiny did put something like that in, that if enough people kind of muted somebody, that person would be muted. But I don't quote me on that. But I want to say that is something that has been explored in these.
I want ostracism to be a thing.
They have to be careful because some people could use that type of voting system to gang up on an innocent person. That's the problem, is that the bad guys are going to use it for their own purposes too. That's why I think you haven't seen that stuff implemented more widespread.
I just really want like Jean Grey level psychic power so I can reach across the country and smack them in the head, because Nazis deserve to be punched. Misogynists deserve to be punched.
Metal Mayhem in chat says not just gamers but streamers too. Oh sure. That's one reason where it's like, you know, OLR, we get anywhere between what, like 25, maybe 45, maybe 50 at our peak. viewers that we get live. We have about 33 on right now, if my little console is to be believed. We have more than that listen on the podcast feed, but you know, we have a decently sized crowd that turns up here on Sunday nights, and we're really appreciative. But I like that we're kind of like at that level where we're pulling a respectable crowd here. People actually want to listen to what we're doing, and we appreciate that. I love it. And they want to participate in the conversation, and that's wonderful too. But we're not big enough where the fucking haters are coming out, or the people that are just there to get a reaction are coming out. Like, that's a problem that your more Twitch partners and the people that have, you know, 200 people that watch one of their streams, that's the stuff they have to deal with. So in a way, like, you know, and I've been asked kind of point blank, are you irritated that you're not more famous? And it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. Like, if we were bigger, we'd have to deal with all that shit. And I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like we're almost better off in a way, not having to deal with that. So, Kaijudo in chat says, I play online a lot and no one ever talks. Once in a blue moon, I think the missing word there, I see some nasty text in Rocket League, but most of the time people never use voice chat. It may also depend on what you're playing. And I know I don't use voice chat because I got sick of the things people were saying on voice chat. So if I do play games online, I don't use it. Now, it is worth saying I do play things like Final Fantasy XIV, World of Warcraft in the past. I've played those types of MMOs online. But I think it's harder to be that much of an asshole in those games because usually you're working together towards a common goal. And if you're going to be that guy, then you're not going to get to the goal either. And granted, don't get me wrong, and I full well know some people exist in those things only to troll. And I've seen my fair share of them in World of Warcraft. But even the trolls will oftentimes end up on block lists. And then when they want to do something for real later on, they can't because they've pissed everybody off on the server. So anyway, some other comments I wanted to read about this report, and then we can stew on it a little bit if we want. Online harassment is getting worse, and a similar ADL survey, this according to past studies, that was conducted earlier in the year, talked about that 37% of Americans have experienced severe harassment online. Online gaming meant, when they kind of analyzed that, the ADL survey said 65% of players experienced severe harassment when it's the online gaming. Now, just some things about the survey. ADL sampled about 1,000 people. And to be fair, the gaming community at large is trying to figure out what they can do about this. For example, Phil Spencer from Xbox recently had that post about laying out things for combating abuse, saying that, you know, gaming is for everyone, period. Overwatch, they put in the endorsement feature so that you kind of reward people as opposed to punishing people. And they say that the endorsement feature reduced toxic behavior by 40%. So some things to consider. But obviously harassment is still a thing. I don't know, without going too deep, what can we do about it? What can us decent people do about harassment? And I think there's definitely, like, number one, I think the obvious thing would be, you know, call it out when you see it. Like, if somebody's getting harassed, you know, as much as you might not want to or something like that, you have to kind of stand up for the underdog a little bit, right? But I think the reality of the situation is that most of us are just pulling out of these situations where we even get to where the bullies are. And like I said, I just play with friends. Done. Like, this is why I don't get in these mixed situations. So, I don't know. Thoughts?
Yeah, calling it out. I think just reporting people that are, you know, doing this kind of harassment, and I mean, I don't know, just playing with friends.
Yeah. Kaijudo in chat says, anytime I hear a jerk picking on someone, I fight back. SG100 Matt says, the report did say that 88% of players who play certain games like Warcraft had very positive experiences with voice chats. And, you know, I think especially like, but in WoW and in Final Fantasy and those types of games, you find your guildies, you kind of find your tribe, you find your people, and you're on voice chat with those people. And like, people are going to treat each other with respect because, again, you're helping each other out. You're mm-hmm. you're all getting epic purples or whatever the equivalent is in the game you're playing, you know? Pixel Pockets in chat says, any game I play, I immediately mute voice chat for all and I'm silent myself. It only took a few shitty people to make me decide it's not worth it with random people. I'll just chat with my friends, and that's more fun anyway. Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. All right. Well, anyhow, let's move on and talk about other voice issues. Right, Dark Soccer, what do you have?
Well,
This one, I don't really know how I feel about it, but basically Microsoft is going to be tweaking their Xbox One dashboard again, and this time they're removing Cortana. I don't know. It's still on PC and Windows 10, right? The Cortana interface? I don't remember.
I believe Cortana is still on Windows 10, yeah.
But at any rate, they are removing it and redesigning things, and it'll bring everything into one area where you can see it right away. So it's supposed to give you quicker access to your past titles, Mixer service, community, and the Microsoft Store. And so they're just, I guess, in the long run, trying to make it a more efficient thing, but Cortana is going bye-bye.
I guess they do need to kind of clean up some of that extra stuff on Xbox One. And I can't think of a time where I've been like, Cortana, take me to the store to buy Castlevania or something like that. You know, it just doesn't really happen.
But yeah, the big thing on here is that, yeah, you can no longer talk to her via your headset, but you can still power on your Xbox One through Xbox Skill for Cortana on iOS, Android, or Windows. So
that's true, because it might be, for some people, that might be an accessibility thing. So I don't just want to like say, well, it's useless for me, so fuck it. Because there could be a very big reason why it could be an accessibility thing for Cortana to help you navigate.
There's more. They basically are refocusing Cortana for the business scenarios and are working on conversation recognition. But they did decouple her from the Windows 10 for the May update. And they are making Cortana a separate app.
Hmm.
So
interesting. Well, it's good that it's still there, because I bet there are some people that kind of need Cortana. SG100 Matt in chat says, Cortana was initially used with your Kinect. After they killed that off, you could still do it with your mic. Now it's gone. Bobby Blackwell says, I used Xbox Record that a lot, but Cortana took it away. And Metal Mayhem says, to be honest, when I first got Windows 10, I tried Cortana just for the lulz, but it got boring quick. All those comments from our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So there you go. Cortana will no longer be a part of the Xbox One after, well, unless you use some workarounds and things like that, after a future update. Let's move on. A few more stories for you guys, then we're going to get to the classic game of the week. Loki.
Yeah, so this is kind of neat. There's a brand new, I don't know, unauthorized spiritual successor, I guess, of Simon's Quest. So there's a game that's coming out that someone's working on called Simon Quest, Transylvania Adventure. And it's kind of homage or parody of Simon's Quest. And it's like a indie game that hopefully won't get struck down by, a DMCA or something like that. But it definitely is got the same type of stuff that you would see in Simon's Quest. They said convoluted hints, mansions, and a time system that doesn't make you wait. And apparently they're working on a demo. So this is the Twitter user Programancer. And it looks pretty cool so far, just based on the little video that he posted. Definitely get the vibe of Castlevania. A little too much, though.
I was going to say, I'm getting some cease and desist vibes off that. Like, you know, at what point does parody end and copycat begin? And don't get me wrong. Like, it looks great. It looks really cool. Like, I love the retro vibe it's giving, and you know, and just how much it kind of invokes Castlevania, but it's kind of this different thing, obviously.
And I understand that, like, they're trying to, like, not use the Castlevania name, but Simon Quest. Maybe you should have renamed your protagonist.
Maybe, why don't they call it, like, Castle Quest? Or, well, I guess that was probably a name of a game sometime at some point. Or, like, you know,
Simon Adventure.
Yeah, something to get it a little more distant from that. So,
I don't know. It looks neat. Hope it comes out.
Sia Tabiri suggests Trevor Quest in our chat room.
Trevor Quest?
Yeah, use one of the other. We went to the other Belmonts. Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm definitely looking forward to checking out if it actually ends up coming out. Apparently, though, they were supposed to have a playable version of it at Con Bravo. So, I don't know. We'll see, but I'm guessing there's...
Well, I'm guessing Konami doesn't exactly have their
rush.
Eye on.
The rush between, you know, C and D versus it being out... I don't know. Announce that stuff at the end of your project. Or just like, hey, look, I made this game. It's done.
Now it's on the internet.
Now you can
C
and D it, and it's too late.
Pixel Paca suggests the name Nomi's Quest. That's Simon backwards. SSGO 100 Matt suggests the title Love Simon Quest. I guess how about they could just change the protagonist Simone's quest.
Simone's quest. Simone,
Raven Simonier's quest.
Let's not do that.
Why not? Sia Tabiri suggests Dracula Scavenger Hunt the Adventure. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about something that is going to be going away from the Wii U. For those of you that are still using your Wii U, which there might be some of you out there. I mean, even though I'm sure many of you have updated to the Switch, there might be some reasons to keep your Wii U around. But as of September 26th, if you do use a Wii U to watch Amazon Prime Video, you'll no longer be able to do that. Prime Video users are starting to get emails letting them know that they're no longer going to be able to do that. And this is kind of interesting, a $25 credit towards buying Fire TV devices to help that feel a little less. Now I want to just fire up my Wii U and open the... No, I'm not going to get a Fire TV. Nice. I'm only kidding. All right. The email says, we are continually upgrading our service, and this occasionally means we can no longer support certain device models. To help you continue streaming your favorite content, we're offering you a $25 credit towards select Fire TV devices, which will allow you to continue to stream your favorites from Prime Video. So if you're using the Wii U for this, you still have Netflix, YouTube, and Hulu today, but who knows how much longer that is going to be. Now, it should be pointed out, Amazon Prime is not on the Switch. Some of these, you know, I think YouTube's on the Switch at this point. Hulu's on the Switch, but
Netflix?
Not.
Netflix?
Nope, not Netflix. Netflix ain't on the Switch, and Amazon Prime isn't on the Switch. This isn't as easy as just going over to the Switch. And I will say, you know what? I do remember downloading Prime Video onto the Wii U and using it because my broadcast signal from the Wii U was strong enough where if I had Amazon going on the Wii U, I could take the tablet into the bedroom and watch an episode of Drag Race or something from the bedroom. So, you know, there may be some uses why somebody wants to take that tablet and watch it somewhere else in their house, a little portable television. So, but I guess at the same time, if I wanted to, I could just use my phone. But the Wii U had that kind of bigger screen, you know.
It's nice, but it was nice. You know, I understand that they want to support it.
But I'm not going to profess that I've like used it at all ever recently.
And they probably figured out that the numbers aren't really, you know, there as far as the number of users. So it makes sense that they would probably retire it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I wanted to read some other comments in chat. Bobby Blackwolf points out Twitch also isn't on the Switch. No, that's – I mean, I think we all understand –
That'd be too easy, Twitch on the Switch.
Well, and we understand that the Switch probably isn't going to let you broadcast stuff because of, you know, the parts that are in it. Maybe when there's a pro – maybe that's something they're looking at for the pro. Who knows? We'll just theorize on that.
I have to have a pro Switch to do streaming services?
I bet that'll be a thing. But anyway – But it's surprising that you don't at least just have the Twitch, like, watch stuff client. That is a little weird, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd love to be able to have that. So, anyway. SG100 Matt says, most companies are like, this is gone in blank days. If you have problems with this, kick rocks. Yeah, so it's kind of true that, you know, they didn't have to offer the $25 incentive on the Fire TV or whatever. But they are. But I think... Amazon probably discounted the price by $25 on Prime Day anyway, if not more than that. So I'm sure Amazon takes a loss. I mean, because it's almost like game consoles. The more Fire TVs that are in home, the more people that are likely to buy stuff on the Amazon Prime Video thing. So it kind of suits them to have that at as many places as possible. So I don't think this is just them being the nice guy, if you will. All right. Anyhow, SG100 Matt says... Maybe it'll let you stream from the Switch, but only at 480p. So your streams are going to be crap quality. All right, let's move on to the classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be remembering this game this week. I'm kind of surprised you're doing this game this week. This is a big one, and I thought you might would save this for an anniversary show or something. Yeah, you're just
I also thought we'd already done this one, too.
I also thought we'd already done this one.
I think just with me being kind of in music game mode, it stuck out in my head.
It's fair. And it's also one of those, congratulations, this game is 10 years old type of moments.
Actually, right now it's 12 years old.
All right. So what is the game?
Rock Band.
There you go. So I just want to point out, usually on the podcast, we have a little bit of the game's audio in the background. However, tonight we have removed the audio just because we don't want to risk a Twitch muting for the copyright music. So exactly. We only have the visual running on Twitch tonight.
Too bad we couldn't get like something like Charlene right behind you or whatever. Like,
even, I didn't want to risk it even with the freebie song. So right. It's fine. Y'all... probably you're already familiar with Rock Band. I imagine this crowd pretty familiar with Rock Band already. Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry. So Rock Band is a music game. It was developed by Harmonix. It was published by MTV Games and distributed by EA. We are talking about the first game in the series. It was out for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, released on November 20th, 2007. And there was a PlayStation 2 version that was released December 18th, 2007. So, also a Wii version on June 22nd, 2008. Harmonix had also developed the Guitar Hero series. And then when Guitar Hero was sent off to Neversoft, Harmonix made the new game with multi-instrument gameplay. So sort of like having your guitarra in one game instead of spread out amongst all of the various, I guess it actually was kind of like the guitarra, by having the multiple instruments, except it grew from there, from just, guitar and drum and mic. And there have been like a bajillion sequels, of Rock Band, so... We won't even be getting into there. But basically, you've got your different peripherals. You have, of course, your on-screen interface is what controls how you're supposed to do it. With the mic, you have to sing to a relative pitch to the original vocal. So I know some people who just may as well not fucking use the mic because they can't, hold a tune in a bag. There's nothing also, by the way, that will set off like my own self-loathing of my voice than playing in, on the mic in GarageBand, just saying. I hate hearing myself out of key. But you also have your guitar. One person can be bass, and you've got your drum kit. Later on, of course, we got the piano and the cymbals and all these other goodies. So at any rate, you build up your score, you get different multipliers, and you have an overdrive that lets you just, apparently play really awesome. And then you can use, like on the guitar, you use your whammy bar for like using effectors for how you're playing, as an example. You've got different difficulty levels, easy, medium, hard, and expert. And if you don't play well enough, you get muted out of the song. So, there you go. The PlayStation 2 and Wii version didn't have any customizable options for your player, but Xbox 360 and PS3 did. So you could change their physique, their clothes, tattoos, the way they move, all kinds of stuff. The guitar was based off the Fender Stratocaster. You had, your drum... pedals. You also had like your game modes like Band World Tour where you could play in different venues and unlock things and customize your character even more. You also have like solo play. You have a solo tour. And the soundtrack, pretty massive. So they reached out to 5 record labels that provided most of the master recordings, including EMI, Hollywood Records, Sony BMG, Universal Music, and Warner Music. For Warner Music specifically, it was Rhino Entertainment. You know what I remember about Rhino Entertainment? Is that when I was young, I had a bunch of albums that had the old Rhino logo on it, and that's how I always remember Rhino Entertainment. But they had, the Wii version had 5 additional songs, by the way, over some of the others. They had Danny California, Don't Fear the Reaper, Enter Sandman, Here It Goes Again, Highway Star, and Learn to Fly. Oh, and Suffragette City, and Wanted Dead or Alive, and Won't Get Fooled Again. So those are bonus. You could also get downloaded, track packs and single songs. So, to date, 1,480 downloadable songs are available. That's a lot of music. But at any rate, like I said, it was developed by Harmonix post-Guitar Hero.
And Red Octane made it looks like Red Octane was making the peripherals. But yeah, when Neversoft took over development of Guitar Hero, Harmonix had to go somewhere, had to do something. And so they started in February 2006 working with different designers for prototyping the instruments, for developing it on new hardware, bringing in things like your drum support. And they just kept working on it from there. And it ended up being, you know, such a big hit. Like I said, we've got so many other peripherals in it, so many other releases that it just really moved right along. They did have licensing fees for using some of the wireless technology, especially for Microsoft. And if they had chosen to pay for it, they would have actually released the different versions at different costs. So they used wired technology to start off with it. It's got a massive online community at rockband.com. And now, I mean, remember we used to help out with Umlaut, the charity event where you basically play Rock Band on stage. I used to do some of the graphics. There's all these like weird special editions too. Like there's Green Day and I think there was Beatles Rock Band. That was a big deal. But, you know, as it came out, you know, they also were learning that, of course, some of the guitars from other games were incompatible. For example, the Gibson Les Paul guitar controller that came with Guitar Hero 3 was not compatible with Rock Band, even though Harmonix said that they had an open controller support. But basically, Harmonix and Activision were just pointing fingers back and forth. Harmonix put out a patch. Activision blocked it. So who's the bad guy here? But Activision then announced that Guitar Hero World Tour would use the Rock Band's instruments, and just drama. At any rate, though, Rock Band was very highly received. For most of the American reviewers, you didn't get a score under a 9 on that scale, or a 5 stars, or an A. So they were all very excellent and won so many awards. Best Multiplayer Experience, Innovation Awards across the board, Best Music Game. And Xbox Magazine said Best Reason to Move to a Bigger House Award.
This game really was like, it was just so like transformative. I mean, you really have to kind of co-credit this and like Guitar Hero and just, you know, with the whole like plastic instrument revolution. And sure, those of us that have been music game fans a little bit longer, such as, you know, us here at OLR and some of our longtime listeners, obviously we remember when it was about Guitar Freaks and importing the stuff from Japan, the Beat Media 2DX controllers and things like that. But Konami, and, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum in our first 180 episodes. Konami was never willing to really take that risk with the U.S. audiences until it was too late. The Japanese arm of the company was too fucking stubborn, even though the American side was telling them, do it, do it, do it. They were too fucking stubborn until I think it was really too late to hit the momentum on that. Mm-hmm. And then by the time they finally did get it on it, it looked like a fucking knockoff of this. Because it was Rock Revolution when Konami finally got in, was just a bad fucking version of this. So... it was really Guitar Hero 2, probably in many ways, I would say. And then like this as a definite like follow up with Guitar Hero 3 that really kind of like pushed that plastic instrument revolution and just started music gaming in the U.S.
Well, there also did have effects on the actual music industry. Viacom was saying that it was averaging the sale of 1 million downloadable songs every 9 days. And, for example, Motley Crue's single Saints of Los Angeles debuted as a Rock Band track the same time that the album released. Some of the tracks that were specific to Rock Band actually ended up being later on re-released. For example, Rush's Alternate Working Man, only, which one of my favorite songs ever.
We actually like ran out of video, and that was some guy playing a 10-minute song.
Oh shit!
That's all right.
I'll
There's a lot to say about Rock Band.
But at any rate, the alternate version of Working Man that was released only for Rock Band was so well loved that Rush released that version as a download through iTunes, and started making some of their albums available. Like Moving Pictures was released in the game 2 months after all this. So.
I really want to go back and play again on my Xbox One because I have Rock Band 4 on Xbox One. But, like, I remember I was having a lot of problems getting the instruments to connect. And, like, weird shit was happening. And I got so frustrated, I just stopped. But for me, the real peak of the Rock Band series for me was Rock Band 3 because I loved the keyboards. I'm, like, the one person that loved the keyboards. That was so awesome. And I wish the keyboard thing had taken off more.
Mm. I was also reading about some of the litigation with Gibson Guitar and
oh,
Konami's lawsuit and everything.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, basically, Viacom did a countersuit against Konami, saying that Rock Band improves on Konami's original patent and that Rock Revolution used controllers that are similar to Rock Band, so they both settled. Mm. And there you go.
There you go. I also want to give a shout-out for Rock Band Blitz. I wish they had made that one backwards compatible with 360.
There's Rock also mention of Frets on Fire.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that a computer PC?
It was a Finnish.
Yeah.
Done in Finland, yeah. And then, of course, we had, coming out after that, there was Rocksmith to where you actually could play a real guitar.
That was much different.
But it played off the concept.
Yeah, I don't know how much I can say, but I know somebody who worked on that game. And so do you.
Saying that I don't know that it would be out.
Oh, yeah,
if
sure.
not
yeah.
for...
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Like, again, it's all about that risk, right? Mm. Nobody would have taken a risk on a game like Rocksmith if Rock Band and Guitar Hero 2 hadn't, like, put it out there that there was that. And I'm sure somebody asked that question. Well, you know, everybody's fake jam it. Why don't we teach people how to play a real guitar? Why don't we do this for real? Maybe there's a way. Mm-hmm. And that's what Rocksmith did.
Well, and on top of that, though, in the later releases of Rock Band, you had the pro modes where they had guitars.
And the keyboard. I love the keyboard because you really were playing the keyboard parts if you played it in pro.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. Bobby talking about Rock Band Blitz, they only had the music licenses for a couple of years for the songs. They ended up delisting Rock Band Blitz. Rock Band Blitz was just, it was all the DLC you already had for Rock Band, but then you played it in like an Amplitude kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. So cool. So, all right, there it is, your classic game of the week, Rock Band. One of the greatest all-time classics, really, especially for us music game fans. Love it. That's the type of game that brought us all together. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming, were they playing this at California Extreme? Did it get you kind of – oh, yeah, you said they were playing on the stage, right?
Yeah, but I didn't play.
But you
I was
saw
singing along with it, though.
Yeah.
Because they started singing The Cure.
I also did karaoke this last week because that's
where
– Well,
I wasn't on stage. I was just singing it at the vendor booth.
No, but I did real karaoke. I met up with some of my friends in Chicago. We went out to one of the bars for karaoke. It was fun.
I was basically like, show me how you do
that.
That's one of my favorites. Yeah. But I was singing it over there, and some kid was looking over just grinning. It was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. You were singing classic rock.
Stop it.
All right. Let's move on. Let's get into some rapid fire news and quickly travel around the world with some other headlines and what's going on in gaming. So, Loki, why don't you start us off?
All right. So we've got a couple things here. So one, it's a little bit of a preview of what we can expect from Gamescom, which is just around the corner. It's supposed to take place on August 20th through the 24th, and THQ Nordic is apparently going to have some new games to announce, as well as showing off some additional things, including their remake for Destroy All Humans. They also have the remake for SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated, and apparently the strategy game of Desperados 3 and Darksiders Genesis. But they're supposed to be announcing also new games as well during that time. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what that is. THQ Nordic, I'm hoping that one of those is a new Saints Row game. But, you know, I'm highly skeptical.
No, it's going to be something in the same universe. Agents of Mayhem 2.
Yes, because that game really was not terrible enough. And we have to make a sequel to make it even worse. And then finally, this is kind of cool. Grand Theft Auto 3... Liberty City. May remember that game. That's pretty old. But now you can actually play in the Liberty City map from Grand Theft Auto 3 in BeamNG. So for those not aware of what BeamNG is, it is a physics-based driving game, which basically you can kind of do whatever you want in it, but mostly it's to crash your car in very unique ways. But now you can crash your car in very unique ways all over the map of Grand Theft Auto 3. And it looks awesome. And, of course, it's not something that you can necessarily download via the official, like, mod repositories. But there's a thread in their forum on BeamNG.com. So go check it out there. And it looks awesome. I don't know if I don't think I have BeamNG, but I've seen lots of videos of people playing it. I do want to probably pick it up now.
All right. Moving on to a hacker's gonna hack story, because we love these around here at OLR. This has to do with somebody getting Android running on the Switch. That's right. XDA are the homebrew developers that have just released an Android firmware for the Nintendo Switch. It's Android 8.1's Lineage OS 15.1. I don't do enough Android to know what that means.
I have no idea what that is.
But I'm assuming it's just one of the operating systems. One of the older ones, probably not one of the newest ones. And so compatible models will do it. There are, of course, it's buggy. It's got battery life issues, some of the rotation, some sensitive touchscreen input. But everything in there otherwise would work. So basically it will turn your Switch into an Android tablet with a pair of controllers. This is something – you're basically flashing the firmware on your Switch to be this. So you're losing your Nintendo Switch. So you know, only if you really, really, really are into fucking with your hardware do you want to do something like this. Apparently, it is based on Android's division that works with the NVIDIA Shield TV. So some things on the Tegra, like Borderlands and Half-Life 2, will actually run on this. Not to say they run well, but they run. So very interesting with that. That's a big console mod going on there. So, yeah, again, I would not do this for shits and giggles unless you really know what you're doing with this type of modding, because you're likely going to lose access to being able to play Mario Maker and things like that. Anyway, let's talk about a story on Facebook Instant Games, because they are going to be kind of going away, kind of not really. So Instant Games on Facebook started in the news feed, and then they went to Groups and the Lite app, and I believe they went into the messaging app. You could play games like Pac-Man and stuff with friends. I know I've done that before, but not in a long time. I think it was one of those things where, like, oh, I played Pac-Man with somebody on Messenger. Okay, I'll never need to do that again in my entire life. Like, I don't think I really got into the in the Facebook gaming thing was also a little weird to me, because, like, oh, you can play these things on an app in your phone. And most of them are just apps you can download on your phone and play there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if I wanted to play Pac-Man, I could just download the Pac-Man app for my phone, right? But for whatever reason, you know, some people wanted to do the Facebook Messenger gaming because, excuse me, probably some more of the social features and things like that. Well, games are going to be moving out of the Messenger app. They will be moving into the Facebook gaming tab. Global Director of Games Partnerships Leo Oleb said, quote, starting later this summer, Instant Games will no longer be playable directly in the new version of Messenger on iOS. To ensure a smooth transition, players in Messenger will continue to access games through thread updates and chatbots, while gameplay itself will app switch to Facebook. Quite honestly, this all sounds terrible. So I just... Is there a Facebook game I'm missing out on? Is there something I should be playing?
I don't know. I blocked all of those notifications, so probably not. Is Farmville still a thing? Farmville 2?
I wonder if my ex is still jamming to the Farmville soundtrack all these years later. I have no idea. I don't know.
Which one was this?
All right. Okay, so podcast listeners in chat want me to correct on the Android story. Apparently, you are running it off a micro SD card. You are not actually overwriting your Switch data. I apologize. I must have misinterpreted, because they were talking about that you may be kind of screwing up your system to be able to play some of the other games later on. So I apologize if I misrepresented that. I still would venture with this shit with caution. If you really want to run an Android thing, how about you just buy an Android tablet? They're not that expensive. They're cheaper than a Switch. Earlier in the show, I said, but isn't that Reddit where everybody runs Doom on all this different shit hilarious? So I get the appeal. I do. Anyway, Back to the Facebook story. Kaijudo says, my ex loved that Facebook MMO game. Forgot the name of it. Oh, Farmville. She had me in her auction room watching her sell her stuff. It was fun. Metal Mayhem
says, sarcasm?
Metal Mayhem says, I don't give two shits about Facebook games. To be honest, if I were to play a game, it would be one of my games from Steam or Good Old Games. Good plug. So I think it's safe to say Pixel Shits will not be coming to Facebook Messenger or Facebook Instant Game or whatever the fuck they're calling it now anytime soon. Anyway, who wants to play games on Facebook anyway? You know the only games
Mom,
we play on
Farmville
Facebook?
For a while.
Mind games.
Do you remember, though, that Sims on Facebook?
Yes, vaguely.
I played the crap out of
there
that.
That's right. There was like a Sims
thing. And it was
thing.
More
yes.
like 2D and not 3D.
Yeah, no, I totally remember it. That thing was nuts. That was, yeah, okay.
And then like this pet game.
But those weren't like things within the app. That was kind of the precursor to that. Those games were also on Google Plus games when that launched.
The one and only game I played on Facebook that I had to suffer through was a stupid goddamn garage sale game, part of that fucking Ready Player One challenge. That is the only fucking game I ever played on there, and that was enough to sour me off of the whole fucking platform.
I remember that. Dark Tetsuya says, I was kind of addicted to the Civilization port for a little while. I remember that. That's right. There was like a Civilization game on Facebook.
I did Words with Friends a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sim Social, that was it, Pixel Pockets.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough about that. Dark Soccer, what do you have for Rapid Fire News?
Certainly not Pixel shit right now. Sorry, YYR. The original game that we got as Monster Rancher in Japan, it was Monster Farm, is getting a re-release in Japan. There is a teaser website up for it, but Koei Tecmo has released the thing on their Twitter, and it's looking kind of cute. You know what's funny is that I almost picked up a Monster Farm yesterday because I'd never played Monster Rancher, so I was thinking about getting it, but I didn't. But there's in the translation of this. Hold on, let me get the translation pulled up. It says, "Oh my God, why is this being slow?" Basically, it's saying that it's going to be released on an unannounced platform in 2019, and they used the word "haishin," which typically indicates a digital release. So it could either be it's a digital-only console, PC title, or smartphone. So, and then in other news that I don't know if this makes me excited, it could, but Sega of Japan has filed a trademark for Knight's Dream Wheel, thinking that it could be another game in the Knights franchise. It would be really nice if it did, but it didn't spell Knights with the special spelling of Knights, so it could be something else. But if it's a new Knights game, I would be quite happy.
I'm surprised that isn't something they've revisited recently. Why not? We're getting a lot of the other stuff.
We did have
Sega.
That like Wii Knights
there
game.
Was a Wii Knights game. I remember that. A Wii Little Knights game. But yes, there was that. And then of course Panzer Dragoon, I think, is the other kind of big one that I remember at E3 this year. Is a pretty big deal, so it'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on and travel around the world and check out some release dates and some video games coming out soon near you.
Not a whole lot this week. We've got Mutant Year Zero Road to Eden Deluxe Edition on Nintendo Switch, Oxygen Not Included on PC, Mac, and Linux, Madden NFL 20 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, The Church in the Darkness on PC, Mac, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's it.
All right. Let's travel to Japan right now. Get in the car. Let's go. on the PlayStation 4 this week, on August 1st, we have a game called Labyrinth Life. Sadly, I don't believe this game stars David Bowie. I think it's probably an anime-based game. They talk about a faint in agony flowering system. Kind of interesting, but anyway.
Alrighty,
yeah. And I guess it also does some rock, paper, scissors type of battle. And, it looks like you can change the bust sizes on your characters. Well, that's...
Oh, yeah, I think... Yeah, I've heard... This was a game I think that was...
that's lovely.
That Sony wasn't bringing over to the West because
I can't imagine why.
They had, like, some of these... I don't know if this is the same game series, but they had one where you basically have to breed these, like, princesses or whatever that you rescue or something like that. There was some weird shit. I don't know. They...
All right. Well, if Labyrinth Life is your thing, you enjoy that. It's this week. Also coming out of Japan this week, Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled gets its Japanese release. I know we've had it here for a little bit, but is finally on its way out in Japan this week. And if we want to go over to the Nintendo Switch, Omega Labyrinth Life comes out on the Switch.
All right.
Where you can make some Omega. All right, anyway. Also, we've got a game called the same Crash Team Racing is also out in Japan. And the Air Conflicts Collection gets a release on the Switch this week. And I feel like we just had... No, this is... Okay, no, this is not like an arcade shooter. This is a game with Air Conflicts Secret Wars and Air Conflicts Pacific Carriers in one pack. So if you are... You know, because the airplane simulator games are pretty popular overseas. So if you want that, you can have that. Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
In the UK, we don't really have very many either. What is coming out on the 29th, which is, I guess, already the 29th right now there, is FIA European Truck Racing Championship. There's Mutant Year Zero, Road to Eden. The deluxe edition, and then on August 1st is Madden NFL 20.
So to go back to Labyrinth Life a little bit, I'm just going to read this one. I mean, basically, you kind of get the gist of the game anyways, but they said apparently if you expand your bus with every fallen foe, mighty memories lead to greater power. Defeating foes builds up your Omega power in the chest, increasing bus size and parameters. They go all the way to a Z Cup. This is a Nintendo Switch game, by the way. And apparently is coming out in the U.S. on August 1st. So that is another.
Is it really?
That is another game of, that is coming out.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Are you going to do a Let's Play, a live stream?
No, it's $60. I'm not paying for that.
But Z Cups, Loki.
Oh, wow. Jerome bigger. big fucking one.
You know what?
What?
I think that that's so terrible that it's not even funny anymore. When I know people who've had breast reductions for that kind of pain that it would cause, I don't think that a part of the body should be fetished. I really don't. I'm just getting so sick of it. We're not objects.
But and I'm not saying it's right, but are you really surprised?
I should be surprised is the thing. I really should be surprised.
I don't even know what I'm looking at here. And I really don't want to know.
Whether fictional or not, bodies need to be respected. It's just fucking stupid.
I don't know what that
we're
is,
not
but
here
it's on their official website.
To glorify your fucking hormones.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Nintendo is kitty. Because, you know, Nintendo is a kids company. They only put out kids games. We all know that's the case, of course. Let's see. Some folks in chat saying, excuse me, Z Cup? Yeah, anyway. Pod Culture says, there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. Anyway, let's move on. Can we please go to the mailbag? So every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read our favorite emails live on air. Did we get any emails this week?
We actually got a really interesting little email that apparently they recorded you masturbating, Rob.
How does it go? What
important.
Where?
You have been recorded masturbating and the M is an upside down W.
So it's a spam message that somebody
says.
Yeah,
it is.
Oh, okay.
You've been masturbating.
I was masturbating.
I'm not even opening it. And of course, from who is anonymous hacker.
Oh, okay. Anonymous hacker caught me masturbating here in the OLR studio or like somewhere else in the house. Like, do they like, was it Professor Plum in the conservatory
with the Crisco?
I'm not going to play this game anymore.
So that means since we got no real emails, it's Drag Race talk.
What is there to talk about Drag Race? Drag Race isn't on right now.
But I saw a funny meme.
Okay.
This says every time a Republican is caught with another man, a drag queen gets her heels.
Oh, because there's yet another one that got like was caught on Grindr or something like that.
Yeah.
Like just today I was seeing that going around. Yeah.
It's like, why be so hateful unless you just hate yourself?
Mm-hmm.
just get fucked in the ass. You'll feel better. No, I'm serious. All these closeted Republican shitholes.
Now. We're going to get another email about you beating off that Pikachu, so please stop.
Just hear me out. Hear me out.
I'm masturbating it.
Masturbate.
This is why we don't have a lot of viewers.
Masturbate.
No, just hear me out. I don't think a man has to identify as gay to sometimes have gay moments. You know, you can be bisexual. There's no problem with it. Being bi is valid. But if you're this repressed, you're this repressed because you've been denying yourself, or you're doing it and you hate yourself, just get fucked in the ass and be open about it. Stand up there and go, you know what? I like it. And I'm not going to say it because someone's going to clip me saying it and I don't like any of it. But just say getting fucked in the ass is okay. Use your enema, wear a condom, and get fucked in the ass. Do it safely. People who matter will not think any less of you for it.
Welcome, everybody, to the Voice of Geeks Network, where every geek has a voice.
I'm just saying.
And Dark Soccer has chosen to use hers for a significant purpose tonight.
Well, honestly enough, it's why I became a sister. Take the stigma out of it. The moment that no one gives a shit that you're getting fucked in the ass is the moment that you don't have to hide. I mean, fucking A people. I'm in super logic
literally.
Mode is what it is. I'm just saying, if people stopped having such a big conniption fit over it and just... I'm going to stop explaining. It shouldn't have to be explained. If you like it in the butt, you should be able to have it. Just saying.
What?
Back that ass up. Just saying. Rob, do you need another drink?
Shall we? All right. So speaking of getting fucked in the ass, Nintendo has been really hard on people not being able to upload lots of different levels for Mario Maker 2. And so because of that, now they're going to be increasing the cap from 32 to 64. And they said that also they're going to be increasing that upload limit one more time. So we don't know when that's going to happen, but sometime in the future, you may be able to upload more than 64 levels, which I don't understand why they're limiting everybody to do that. But just in case if you think that your level's being deleted because you may be doing some exploits in the game are safe offline, you are sorely mistaken. So apparently, of course, like the first Mario Maker, people have been exploiting different glitches in the game to do all sorts of crazy stuff. One of these is actually how to create a black hole in Mario Maker 2, which allows you to put objects on top of each other that aren't supposed to be layered that way. So you can kind of create these really crazy fire bars and different overlapping terrain, including pipes and whatnot, have... the moon appearing in daytime levels and all sorts of crazy stuff. The game will know that you're doing that, of course, and it will actually say that corrupt data has been found and your course has been deleted, or it just won't let you save the game because there's corrupt data as well. And so, unfortunately, those crazy levels that people might be able to make with these exploits aren't going to be a thing because they have patched in ways to detect those, which is unfortunate. But hey, the level cap's going to be up to 120 probably someday or more. I don't know why there's even a cap on the number of levels you can put out there anyways. Who cares? Like, you can't tell
there's
me...
people that would just upload garbage. If they weren't limited, it would just be garbage.
But how are you going to discover that garbage? I guess it gets thrown into your feed or whatever. But, like, the level size, the download of that, I mean, the storage space has got to be so minimal. I can't imagine why we would even limit that stuff. Little Big Planet doesn't do that, and you can do all sorts of crazy shit in that. Why even limit Mario Maker? I don't know. But that's a thing.
You haven't picked up Mario Maker 2 yet, have you?
I have.
Oh, are you making any levels?
I haven't gotten to play it yet. Because my kids have been playing it.
I haven't made any levels yet. That's the one thing I'm missing. So I should have tried like making a level when on the airplane, but I just I don't know.
I probably will at some point.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway,
Bobby with the Clerks jokes in there. We have 37 viewers in a row.
Anyway, moving on. Maybe something you want to make in Mario Maker is your own pole position inspired level. I don't know. I had no other transition, and I figure it was better than the last one. Pole position. Somebody has remade this in 3D.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and they.
Rob,
what's wrong?
Because I was about to read the name of it, and you know what it's called?
Huh?
PP engine.
Yes, pole position engine.
So it's a PP engine is a 3D remake.
Rob definitely needs an adult this episode.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby said try not to masturbate on your way to the car.
On my way to playing some PP engine, which is a 3D remake of the 19 It's a 3D remake of the 1982 game Pole Position.
Rob
which is
can't
what,
even.
Which is what your PP stands for. But it actually reverse engineers all of the game's code. So it's actually following basically what you would expect the cars and the AI to do. But it's modern high definition graphics.
As in crashing every time you get on a curve.
Yeah. Yes. And all the like lame looking billboards that go by and the little explosions and all of that.
Yeah.
Jonathan Thomas on Reddit said, I started back in 2013. Oh, my God. That's 6 years ago. Reverse. Some people do podcasts for 17 years. Some people spent 6 years on their PP engine. I started back in 2013 reverse engineering the code from the original arcade ROM with the help of the MAME debugger and some primitive self-made tools to analyze instruction traces and create assembly source files that could be assembled back into the original arcade ROM. Following this, I worked through the assembly source file to produce a portable C-based library containing the game logic for Pole Position. This library was used in two projects, the one you see here, and another project to convert Pole Position to the Atari ST, a 16-bit computer that was released in 1985. I mean, this is like, on one hand, I'm like, what a colossal waste of time. But on the other hand, I'm like, this is actually like really cool. It's like the most authentic way to remake like an old game, but just like put new graphics on it. Like they didn't just like remake it with new programming languages that emulated like a thought. They went in and like did it from the code. So that's pretty cool. Now you actually don't you have a Pole Position cabinet, or you did like that became your MAME cabinet? Or am I mixing it up with something?
Yeah,
else?
Yeah, we had a Pole Position, and Shermie moved into it. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was missing the pedal, so Shermie decided it was her new cat mansion.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we put a MAME in that at one time, and then. I don't remember. We sold it and then did other things.
Now, Bobby Blackwolf would like to point out in our chat room, at least he completed his racing game, unlike some people. Well, it took him 6 years to do it.
I got time.
All right. Anyway. Let's move on. We have a few more stories for you guys, and then we're going to get to our Discord segment, which I think I accidentally left off the show roll. But we will get to Discord if you want to give us a call over at VOG Network or VOGnetwork.com/Discord. But first, Dark Soccer, I think you have another kind of like video game study thing, right?
I do, because I like to bring something about science into this. But there is a game called Driving XE, which you can find at drivingxe.com for $39. It's available also as a digital download for, I guess they mean Xbox One and PS4. But it's a game that helps new drivers learn how to drive. And on top of that, in one of the interviews on here, the father of the teen says it's actually helped him become a better driver. That after having pay attention, you know, to watching his daughter play it, that he started becoming a more careful driver. So basically it's driver's ed the game. And the guy behind it is named Bob Davis. He was making the large scale car simulators. Like you, did you ever have the simulators in your high school for driver's ed?
No.
We had them
no,
at
our
mine
school didn't have that.
That mm-mm. used like a film strip to drive with, and the simulators were terrible. This is like also like from the 60s. It was pretty bad. But this guy's been making those simulators since 2005, and so his driving essentials is to help be an interactive driving a simulator for teens that they could do on their own. And so it's actually apparently been helping kids learn to drive better. It has 10 different lessons, starting with the basics and taking you through different driving scenarios so that it gives you, you know, it makes you more aware when you're ready for your driving test. And there's even a level where you have a phone and it forces you to look at it so you can see what distracted driving can do. Because even if you're at a stoplight, looking at your phone can still cause an accident. So, just saying. It's really, really good way to get people prepared. And like I said, her dad said that it was really making him a more conscious driver too. And you can get this at drivingxe.com.
Interesting. You think they're using video games and more in the driver's ed type stuff? I don't remember why we didn't do that type of stuff. I feel like we were all prepping to take a test, and then it's like you took that test so that you could take, like, basically take a driver's ed course through a private thing at 15 and a half, I think, or something like that was when you could do that.
The only thing is that it uses a standard controller, and wheels and pedals are not supported. But I think that they should put in driving wheel support, you know, because that's going to just even add to the experience.
Interesting perspective from Dr. Tetsuya in our chat room over Twitch.tv/VogNetwork saying, the doctors were convinced I shouldn't drive, so I've just been using video games to live vicariously. Very interesting perspective there because, you know, some of us may not realize that, oh, yeah, some people aren't able to drive, whether it's due to a medical issue, a vision issue, you know, whatever it is. But when it comes to video games where, you know, it's a controlled environment, a fake environment, not the real world, you kind of get to, you know, experience that in a different way. And as much as we've been having a laugh at pole position and the acronyms later or acronyms that come from it, you know, maybe that was the realistic simulator in 1982. But certainly now today, the technology's come so far that when you play a game like a Gran Turismo or something, it's so realistic, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, I actually learned, because I hadn't driven in a while, but I learned about oversteering from playing Ridge Racer. So, just saying, you know, I learned how to steer myself out of a drift in other games. So, you know, just applying some of the technique, I mean, yeah. And I'd say, you know, improving your hand-eye coordination, too, is also helpful. So, just adding that in there.
You know what's funny? Bobby Blackwolf, I guess, did some research into the pole position thing. Turns out that game was either that little he hasn't been working on it for 6 years because that originally came out in January 2014. It's just making its way around the gaming blogs again this week for whatever reason, whether it be due to a Reddit post or something like that, as these things sometimes happen. But, you know, here at OLR, it's about what is out there in gaming culture, and if something gets rediscovered and is new all over again, it still qualifies. So, I mean, I had no idea it was a thing. So it's still kind of new. Maybe in 2019, they'll update it for VR. Who knows? So anyhow, let's move on. Loki, a story from you.
All right. So it's another week. So we have yet another story of a Epic Game Store exclusive. So MechWarrior 5, unfortunately, is being delayed. It's now set for December of this year, and it will be Epic Game Store exclusive as well. So Piranha Games put out a press release saying that our partnership with Epic Game Store allows Piranha the opportunity to make sure MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries meets our internal goal of creating the best MechWarrior game possible. We want more money. Since we announced the development of the first player MechWarrior game in 17 years, we have stated that our goal was to deliver to fans MechWarrior Mercenaries experience with true freedom of choice and being able to share that experience in a co-op setting. By true freedom of choice, we do not mean storefronts, of course. So, yeah, it was originally supposed to be coming out sooner. And apparently, though, with that, if you had pre-ordered the game, you will be able to request a full refund up until September 1st.
Well, so at least they're going to do the refund thing that, as I'm sure some other recent controversies like Shenmue and all that stuff. The one that gets me, though, is the whole Tetris effect being exclusive on the Epic Store. But then if you want to play it in VR, you have to have Steam. Because
I don't think that is a requirement anymore for, like, the Oculus version or something like that.
Oh, I thought it only went with the Vive, and so you had to have Steam VR in order to be able to run
that. Yeah, but yeah, that is funny.
This is kind of like one of those, like, this is it's really weird type of thing.
yeah.
But maybe it just also goes to show that you also maybe don't just think of Steam as a store. I guess Steam is, I guess, more than that at this point now with the whole, you know, fact that there's maybe, VR drivers in it.
Maybe it shouldn't, you know, I don't know.
And Bobby says the Oculus version runs Steam VR. They didn't make it specifically for Oculus last I checked. Steam VR runs on Oculus, so they just did a one-size-fits-all. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I don't know. Like, I kind of want to get Tetris Effect on PC, but I already have it on PlayStation. I want to be able to play it on, like, 4K, though. I think that seems, like, really cool. But, like, I just feel like nothing's going to top the VR version. I might wait for a sale. I think that's what I'll probably ultimately end up doing. But I do love Tetris Effect. That game is so good if you guys haven't played it yet. So good. So, but I just don't see myself jumping into PC VR anytime soon. I don't, like, I'm not the level of enthusiast that, you know, Bobby or even maybe Kaijudo or some of the other of you guys that love your VR are at. I'm kind of like, I got PSVR. It plays enough. It suits my needs. I'm good for now. I'm looking forward to the No Man's Sky thing, which, you know, because that's going to get VR pretty soon. I'm excited.
Oh,
to
I
check
thought it already happened.
Okay. It's like any day now. The Beyond update's going to be out, which speaking of, oh, what good timing. Hey, Alan, can I bug you to come on the show, please? Alan, is he listening to podcast? Hi, can you come on the show? Will you come on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, come here. Because I literally just brought something up that is kind of like relevant to you and what you're doing. You've been playing a game a lot recently. Will you tell us, the viewers, a little bit about what you've been up to?
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of No Man's Sky.
Why that game?
I just wanted to see what the mod community had done with it, in addition to the updates that...
What have they done?
Well, apparently, unless this guy's completely full of shit, this one mod that I'm using called Fantasy, a lot of his work has actually been incorporated. Like, he has a credit in some of the patches because Hello Games has used his stuff. He made a mod to where you find a ruin, and then if you use the thing that lets you dig into the earth, there's actually, like kind of like archaeology, where you go under the ground. It's not just to find minerals, but there's things that you can find to sell that are actually under. That's a part of the base game now. And he made a mod to do that originally. So
I was out of town last week, obviously, on a business trip. So how many hours would you say you spent playing No Man's Sky, where I wouldn't be here to judge you while I was out of town?
I've started over a few times. I would say from the time you left, I would say around 15 or 16 hours over the course of the week. So that's two or three hours a night.
That's good. I can't judge. Ask me how many hours I've been on call for my LARP. So it's fine.
Yeah.
I guess what? Oh, the Beyond expansion. Are you excited about that? VR, is that something that interests you?
Well, I still haven't tried Res VR, and you own that. It's in the living room.
True.
So
get on it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for coming by.
Okay.
All right. I just knew he'd been playing No Man's Sky lately, and it was kind of relevant. So I didn't even think about the modding community and what modding's probably done to that game on PC. I bet it's something. So that's cool. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. I want to say one more thing about the Mech Warrior thing. So yeah. You're into, like, the mech games. Is this something you're thinking about putting
up? Yeah, probably not going to. I used to play, one of the Mech Warrior games a while back, but I don't know. I've kind of gotten out of it.
All right. Well, you know I love these little mini arcade cabinets that I have, right? In fact, some of them are actually branded the whole My Arcade thing, and I think... there's one over there, this Burger Time one, which isn't on cam, but I'll go grab it here. This Burger Time one is a My Arcade machine, and they're actually putting out a new version of this. So there's going to be something like this, but I think it's going to be a little bit bigger. And for those, these are the ones that they have, I think, at Target. Target is where you can get these, the My Arcade things. So actually, and I should try turning it on so you guys can really see what this looks like. if I can remember. Oh, no, the whole bottom is the whole little, like, on switch. And then hopefully it'll come on here. And so, sorry, I'm starting it up here, trying to show the folks on Twitch what it looks like. But it's a pretty faithful reinterpretation of, like, Burger Time.
But a lot of them are console versions.
Yeah, they
really
are.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know if this is, like, Coleco, or I think it's probably a little beyond that, actually.
I know that the Qbert one was very similar to the Coleco version with a few little bit of graphical tweaks.
Mm-hmm. So This same company, the My Arcade, is going to be putting out a Namco Museum mini player. It's going to have 20 different games on it, including, you know, you would expect Pac-Man, Pac-Man 2, Pac-Mania, but also some other interesting selections, including Dragon Spirit. That one's pretty cool. Rolling Thunder, all three of them. Splatterhouse, both of those games. So it's kind of interesting, a little bit of a diverse selection from Namco. The screen on that is going to be 4.25 inches, so I think that's a bit larger. It's probably going to be twice the size of what I just showed on the Twitch stream. So it's a lot larger, and it has, but it's a more vertical screen. So it would kind of be more like an iPhone type of shape or an Android, you know, more like the vertical shape, but at the 4.25 inches. So it's going to have 20 games in it, and it's going to retail, I believe, for $99.99. It's on its way out right now. You can get it on Amazon and myarcade.com.
That's kind of expensive.
It is kind of expensive. I mean, well, if you think about that, that little Burger Time thing I just showed on cam, that was about $35, I want to say.
Yeah.
Maybe 30. No, I think it was 30.
And then
the Walmart ones, which is a different series, those are arcade classics. Those set me back about 20 a pop. So, but I do think the My Arcade ones, they're a little, you can see they're a little fancier, they're a little sturdier, the screen's a slight bit bigger. I think they're a slight better quality. It's not that the arcade classic ones are bad, they're really not. They're good too, but I think the My Arcade ones are definitely like a better quality. So it's interesting that they're kind of taking this one step further with this Namco Museum collection. But you know, these things are these retro collections and things are really everywhere. So now Tiger Claw points out some of the My Arcade little cabinets have a bunch of games on them, and they're mostly ripoff games. I think that Stranger Things thing we saw recently, which had come up on the show, is one of those examples too. And that one was a little bit cheap looking. Metal Mayhem says, is there any device out there where Pac-Man hasn't appeared on by this point? Well, if it wasn't on there voluntarily, I'm sure somebody put it on there for sure. So anyway, So that's it. My Arcade Namco Museum. I'm interested, but $100 is a lot of money, especially for the retro stuff. But I want to get more of the little cabinets, the single game cabinets. I love that there's stuff like Fix It Felix is the game, obviously Wreck It Ralph inspired. I love that that is one
Wreck-It
of the
Ralph
cabinets.
Needs his own game.
He does.
Like along the lines of Rampage.
Mm-hmm. And there's another one. There was another one that was like $70 I saw at Target that had a bunch of stuff in it. And I think this might be the one Tiger Claw is linking with Bad Dudes. And there's other stuff in there too. And that's a pretty...
Was it like a Data East collection?
Yeah, it's a Data East collection. That's exactly what it is. And I think Bad Dudes is kind of like the one that they put on the box because that's one of the most recognizable games in it. I still kind of want one of those arcade one-up machines. I still feel like that might be a thing I end up getting myself for the holidays because I know one of our friends, Star Soccer, got one of those Star Wars ones over the weekend or at least ordered it. And I know they were talking in chat. There might be other people interested in getting the Star Wars one. Those things look really cool. So, all right. Well, at this point, we are going to open up our Discord for you guys to give us a call and say hello. If you want to join in the conversation, you can head on over to the green room on our Discord server over at vognetwork.com or vognetwork.com/Discord. That'll get you an invite right into the Discord server. If you are new to Orange Lounge Radio, hey, we would love to have you on the show. But tell us a little bit about what you want to call in tonight in the Orange Lounge Radio channel, just so we know you're not a troll, okay? We want to know you have a legit question. That's all. That's all. We're making sure none of that toxicity makes it here to our little program. So, or best we can. I'm sure we can't avoid everything completely. Anyway, let's get to it. I see somebody just joined the green room, and we haven't had a call in a while, so let's get to it. Hi, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, it is great to hear from you. What's on your mind tonight?
Not much. It's great to hear you guys and see you guys every week.
Well, hello. To what do you want to talk about tonight?
All right. So it was a couple of things I wanted to talk about, but I could save that for another time. Main thing I want to talk about in regards to Nintendo patching out Chris Noesi's voice in Fire Emblem.
Yeah. What about that?
Well, I will say this. I mean, it's no secret that I've been part of the anime cosplay fandom for about 20 years. And several of those years, I've gotten friendly with various voice actors. And the sad part is his actions has sort of been like, sort of not documented, but well-known. It's like people around him knew this. And the thing is, it just takes something big for everybody to come out of the woodwork to point fingers at him for his actions. Now, I do not condone what he did, but I do respect him in the way that he is going to do his best to make amends. I look at it this way. If you make mistakes, it's up to you to own up and redeem yourself so others can see that you've become a better person.
Yeah, I think part of, you know, fixing mistakes, though, is kind of like accepting the punishment. Like, you know, you did the crime, do the time sort of thing, right? So, yeah, I think this whole removal and shaming and so forth is kind of a part of that.
Yeah, it's true. And I said that this may have killed his career, but given how he made this long apology, now it's not the first time I've seen something like this. Right now, there's something big going on in the community with a $1 million lawsuit, and we'll just leave it at that. But if he's being sincere about his actions, then you know what? He should get a second chance. If he's just saying it just to cover himself and save face, then you know what? You're done.
Right. No, I can be open to that, you know, if, you know, kind of accept the consequences, which it sounds like, you know, I'm not following this guy probably as closely, but if he is accepting the consequences and doing that and trying to be better from it, then, you know, the whole idea of rehabilitation in the first place is to get better and do better. So as long as the actions show that a person is doing better, then I think there's room to forgive that, I guess, or you know, accept that a person can change.
Absolutely. It's just sad that things like this come out this way. It's like you make it big, then somebody from your past reminds you of something shitty you've done and you never owned up to it. It's sort of like the whole James Gunn thing with Guardians of the Galaxy, that he's owned up to what he's done frequently and then it keeps coming back and he ended up losing his job. Now he has his job back, you know.
Well, and I think a lot of that was about how he kind of played that out in the public eye, too, you know, and that's why he's kind of back doing the film again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, interesting. Is he a big, and I'm sorry, I might have missed this, is he big in the, like, anime scene? Does he do voices there, too? Is that how you kind of know a little more about this?
Yeah. One of the voices he's known for is he is Helios in Sailor Moon Supers, which is produced by Viz.
Interesting. Okay. Didn't know that.
Now, you might know him by his alternate name on YouTube, Kerboffer.
I don't watch enough YouTube stuff to know.
He's done various voices and been in backgrounds of various like tracks and stuff like that. So that's where I kind of know him from. So,
interesting. All right. Well, before I let you go, anything else you want to talk about tonight?
If I'm looking at the couch correctly, do I see a reference to the Golden Girls between Loki and Pikachu?
You do. This is actually a calendar that Loki got for Christmas. And if you've been watching, if you've been paying attention on the stream, we have updated it every month with the latest month that we're on. So this is July's picture, which is, again, for the sake of the podcast listeners, I'm describing it a little bit. It is Sophia cooking up a dish, and Blanche is looking on at it. And the quote says, "If this sauce were a person, I'd get naked and make love to it." And that was the Sophia quote. So there you go.
Not going to lie, I watched every single episode of that show when it was on the air.
It's great. I know a lot of like bros who watch Golden Girls. It's funny for everybody.
Yes, yes. Because let's be real, most of us watched it for Bea Arthur anyway.
I always loved Betty White even at a young age. So, but yes, of course, Bea Arthur. I mean, they were all great in their own ways. So, it's interesting though how much merchandise and shit there is now with all that.
But Bea Arthur, I'm on my wine break. History of the World Part 1.
Yes, yes. I am one of my favorite lines.
Did you try to bullshit?
One of my favorite B. Arthur moments was from the Golden Girls, and I just will never forget this one, is you know, where I think it's Betty White says, "And where are you going?" And she goes, "To get ice cream or commit a felony. I'm going to decide in the car."
And I like the one where she tells off Blanche about homophobia.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Condoms, Rose! Condoms! Condoms! Condoms!
Yeah.
It was an amazing moment, too.
I remember it. Sicily.
Golden Girls are great. On a future episode of OLR, we are just going to act out scenes from the Golden Girls. So I don't know what part Loki's going to play, but we'll figure that out. I think Loki kind of would be the Dorothy in this situation. I really do. I'm definitely the Blanche, probably, of this group. And what would that leave? I think Dark Sakura would be Sophia.
You know what? Get Alan. Y'all should just go to SDCC and cosplay as the Golden Girls. And I'll stand behind you with a boombox playing the sound, playing the theme song.
You would, Dark Sakura, you would definitely be the one that would be like, picture it. Namco Arcade, Mobile, 1996.
And then not give a shit.
Yes.
I'd say the dry things.
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
All right. Anyway. All right. I'm going to let you go, Rama, so we can squeeze in another call. But
then
thank
walk
you.
Out with my walker.
Good to hear all from right. you as always, my friend.
Right back at you.
All right. Bye. All right. Let's get to another call here on the show. Hello. You're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hello. Oh, hello.
Hey, this is Seth Def. Sorry, yeah. I had my mute on.
That's okay. Hi. Sometimes I know we surprise you when we drag and drop you on air. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I want to talk about something that happened in Mexico. This week, involving esports, a little backstory. There's this federation, esports federation in Mexico that was initiated back in February, if I remember correctly. So it's like, oh, okay, a big deal. So we can have like national teams, support for the esports community here in Mexico. All good. Fast forward to this week. They're starting their tournaments. They're starting out to scout for national team members. And they start charging around 600 pesos, which is around, I think, let me get my calculations almost correctly, like $30, which isn't much. But
right.
The thing is, they are affiliated with the National Sports Committee in Mexico. So they are a civil association. They cannot profit of any tournament or anything, any event they're doing. So it's like a really, really bad situation for them. And especially because one of the tournaments they are holding is for Clash of Clans, or one of the mobile games. Hmm. And Supercell, the developer, came out on Twitter and told them, hey guys, you cannot charge any amount of money for any of the participants.
Interesting.
So it was a really, really big deal this week in Mexico because of that. And actually, one of the people, one of the heads of Famous, which is called, came out and said that, yeah, they didn't like expected this to happen because they do need the money. They do have to pay for the training for the participants. If they get selected, they have to pay the trips. They have to pay everything involved for the making of these tournaments. So it's understandable, but they should have like came out up front about it. It's like many people here, and including myself, we're kind of disappointed on that and how they handle it. Because it's like really, really like shady stuff behind all I have talked about already.
Were they trying to make? I was just saying, were they trying to make a claim about where the money was going?
At the start, when they actually announced the tournaments and all that stuff, they just said you have to be affiliated with them with Famous. And you have to pay the 600 pesos. They didn't say why. They didn't say like, oh, we need this to pay for all the events and all that, all the other stuff that is needed, which is understandable. But again, they weren't clear about it. And it was like until like a few days ago, I think Friday, that an article popped out in an interview they made with a website here in Mexico that actually like explain all that. But again, it's like way too late, and many people are like actually mad, legit mad about it. So it's understandable why they did it, but they should have like been clear about it from the beginning.
Yeah, especially when like the developers are probably sitting here thinking these folks that are completely unaffiliated with us are making money off of our games, using our games in the promotion, using our games to attract people, and then they're charging this fee for them. And even if the fee is, you know, pretty nominal, you know, $3 is not a whole lot of money. It's cheaper than a grande at Starbucks when all is said and done. But it's the principle.
Yeah, actually, $30, I think. But again, not that big of a deal with the money involved, but it's the thing that, yeah, even they got in trouble, kind of in trouble with Supercell, which is, again, the developer. They came out and, hey, you cannot charge. The official rules for any official tournament, it's like you cannot charge any participant at all. Mm-hmm. Even like even if there's like an entry fee for the venue, you cannot charge them that. It's a free entry for any participant. And they're also involved with Overwatch, not necessarily League, but the World Cup, and also other games like League of Legends and others, other games that are going like they have a World Cup, basically.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Interesting. Well, I'll be curious to kind of see if there's more that develops on this, if more companies kind of come out against it, or if, you know, these guys kind of reverse course on that or give a little more clarity to where this money is, why they're collecting it, where it's going, or if they suddenly make a big charitable donation, or I'll be curious to kind of see where this ends up.
Yeah, me too, actually, because again, I actually want to, for them to like do good, do better, actually.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to get like games officially recognized by the International Olympics Committee. They're working really hard on it, but like this kind of stuff is like kind of disappointing, if anything.
For sure, for sure. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show. But thank you for the news from a place an area where we aren't always paying attention all the time. So it's nice to hear some news from around the world.
Hey, thanks for having me go, like always.
No problem. Take care, my friend.
You too.
All right. Well, there you go. That's going to do it, I think, for the calls tonight, which means we are about – oops, I almost closed OBS. I meant to close Discord. We are about to the end of another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Not bad for a week of news that was a little bit slower, mm-hmm. Although I should check in, make sure with Loki there's no last-minute stories.
There's just one last thing I was going to mention. So the Epic Games Store put out some new free games for the month, and one of those was a game called Moonlighter, which apparently someone spotted that there was the enable cloud save function, and which they had commented that on Twitter, and Tim Sweeney responded with, "We've actually enabled cloud saves for a couple of games right now, but they'll be rolling out more." So it's another enhancement that they're finally adding to their storefront that they really should have had there for a while.
Yeah, something to try to kind of maybe justify a lot more of those exclusives they're snapping up when people don't really want to use their store. Yeah. So interesting. We'll see what develops with that. All right, well, we are going to wrap up for the night. I am going to say, as I always do, thank you for tuning in and spending your night with us here at Orange Lounge Radio. We appreciate all of the support. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to air, then what are we going to do? So please tell a friend or two about the show. And, you know, a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes goes an awful long way. Also, you can do these auto hosts of VOG Network over on your Twitch channel. And whether you have 100 followers or one follower, that stuff goes a long way towards discoverability. So please consider putting us on your auto host list. That would be fantastic. Otherwise, I think that's all I've got to say, and I think we're ready to go around and get everybody's final thoughts. We will be back in 7 days to do this all over again. Bobby Blackwolf, who airs live before us at the Voice Geeks Network, will not be live next week. He is off to a convention called Gen Con, which is very big on the board games, I know. So I'm hoping he will get some video, even if it's board games. I'm sure he'll bring back some video. And I would think somewhere in that building there's some video game representation. So he'll probably get a little bit of that. So, there's going to be that. And, we look forward to seeing you guys next week. We will still be here on Orange Lounge Radio at that time. So, Darsagar, do you want to start us off tonight? Her with the orange hair. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
Don't want to be a downer, but stop shooting people, you twats.
Oh, yeah, that thing you just sent me during the show.
Yeah, there's an active shooter right now at the Gilroy Garlic Festival.
And, that, you know, for Northern California, that's a huge event. And it's so, like, and the first question I asked was, you know,
our
Bleak Blank wasn't there, were they? Yeah, so.
Drew was there yesterday.
I almost went there this weekend, but it's 100-some degrees outside, and it's also, like, an hour
Gilroy,
and
At any rate, we need more than your thoughts and prayers. Keep them to yourself. But also, though, in more positive things, just like don't be a douche. Just don't be an asshole. If you are thinking crazy asshole things, see a therapist. That's a lot better than killing people. Go see a therapist and maybe take it in the ass. Just saying.
Thanks. My final thought tonight is going to say, because I forgot to mention this during my gaming week, but I was meeting up with some Ingress buddies to kind of keep an eye on what was going on in the Myriad Anomaly series. So I just want to congratulate the Enlightened on winning the Myriad Anomaly series this weekend. So that's my final thought. Congrats to all that. Well fought, Resistance. Polite clapping. Wink. All right. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I'm hungry. I didn't have enough time to grab dinner today.
Me too.
I'm like 1,500 calories under my budget right now.
Eat something. Drink something. Stay hydrated, Loki.
Oh, I've stayed hydrated. I just need to actually eat food now.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. Thank you guys again so much for being here live or on our podcast feed, however you decided to consume Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you so much for doing so. We will see you in 7 days to do it all again. How does that sound? Great? I thought so. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.